The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. This is PFW in Progress.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No. No, man. No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow. So if you could be here around 9, that would be great.
Oh, and I almost forgot.
I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday, too. Okay?
Thanks.
Paul Perillo.
Well, look, I already told you. I deal with the goddamn customers so the engineers don't have to. I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
And Andy. And Andy?
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
Andy Hart.
I'm thinking I might take that new chick from logistics. Things go well, I might be showing her my O face. Oh. You know what I'm talking about.
Eric Scalavino, for now anyway.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care. When I make a mistake, I have 8 different people coming by to tell me about it. That's my only real motivation, is not to be hassled. That'll only make someone work just hard enough not to get fired.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Every single day of my life has been worse than the day before it. So that means that every single day that you see me, that's on the worst day of my life.
What about today? Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah.
Wow, that's messed up.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium, and I got a feeling that we're going to have some disagreements in today's show because there are no definitives when it comes to talking about free agents and what's the right thing to do, what's the wrong thing to do, the value of players and all that stuff. This is a tough time of year to come to agreement when you're talking about the NFL because it's wide open. And that's what we're going to be talking today. Free agency starts in basically a week, right?
1 week from today.
Exactly 1 week.
At 4 p.m. Eastern.
Teams that were going to slap,
technically New York time.
Slap the franchise tag had till yesterday to do it, and they did it.
That's Eastern.
The Patriots did so with Stephen Gutkowski.
I'm just going to keep talking.
I'm going to keep talking.
This is how it's been for the last 10 minutes before the show started.
Andy and Fred are on the edge.
To the point
it's
where Fred
great.
Said, I can't hear you.
I can't hear you.
When someone's talking, you have to shut up.
Right. But the Patriots used their franchise tag on Gutkowski yesterday.
There I need to report, apologize for that, by
okay,
the way.
Okay, there was a report of someone from the Patriots saying that that's just, you know, that doesn't mean that they won't do a deal with him later on.
No, but that was the release. That was the statement.
The statement said
yeah.
that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well.
So the Patriots, the big umbrella Patriots, said that.
Yeah.
The real Patriots, not like when we write something on Patriots.com and they say it's coming
right.
from the team.
Right. But there's
this is actually from the team.
But there's a lot of consternation out there in Patriots
consternation,
Nation. We're getting a lot of
Fred.
Email about, why not McCourty? They're worried that McCourty's going to leave. They're worried that Revis is going to leave. There's a lot of worrying going on.
Are you
going to
throw
Nation.
Up on your microphone?
I'm more worried about Revis leaving than McCourty leaving.
Yes.
If they can keep Revis and McCourty goes, that'll be too bad, but I can live with it. If McCourty stays and Revis goes, I can't really live with that.
Well, you can live with it. Kill yourself?
Well, I mean, no. I mean,
it's all over.
You probably go to the AFC title game. You just won't win the Super Bowl.
It's going
to
be like when we used to do that
about.
Old Channel 56 show, and Fred used to stay at the top.
To
remember, he was on the 300 level. Stay away from my Brady.
We got a really good tweet that maybe we can start the show off with this whole discussion. They went back. Remember how our whole we used to have those fights of better chance of going 0-4, 4-0, blah blah blah.
Right.
So better chance. In Revis McCourty, the Patriots go 2-0 or 0-2 in terms of re-signing. I'd say 0-2.
Better chance of
2-0.
See, I think 2-0 because I think they're going to sign Revis.
I just think they love McCourty so much, and McCourty loves it here. They're going to figure something
loved
out.
Loved him so much they haven't called him.
Well, I think
I thought
they,
he said though
they,
that they had
I think
been
they
negotiations
need to figure out what they're doing with Revis first. That's the trickle down
throughout the season.
You know, that's
yeah.
the domino.
Well, while you put your little ducks in an order, he's going to be on a plane to like Chicago or somewhere where they have 55 million.
You don't think they're in touch with McCourty and his agent, letting them
so
know?
So he's a liar,
Fred. I'm going to preemptively apologize to you
or his agent, letting them know what's.
Well,
he has
said he had no idea. The only way he knew about the franchise thing was on Twitter.
And is he not? He knows the Patriots way, right?
Sure.
He knows not to talk about this stuff.
Well, he's not a Patriot.
You know what I'm – come on. Don't nitpick.
See, I love this. You're going to bully him into – oh, he'll take his time.
Well, why is it bullying?
He knows we need to take care of Revis first. Well, that's fine. You look out for you. I'm going to look out for me, and I'll be in Tennessee or Indy or Chicago doing my three-day window tampering, baby, and signing $55 million with $25 million guaranteed.
Yeah, well, he might be doing that, and I'm sure there's nothing – stopping him and his agent from doing that, but I also think that he knows the Patriots like him and that they want to do
that.
A deal.
Oh, he said he wants to come back and they want him back, but there's also business and he hasn't heard from him.
I want to preemptively apologize to you, Fred, because you started with the, you know, there's a lot of consternation out there and, you know, and I was ready to say, really? I mean, is it, people that concerned at this point, they kind of know how the Patriots do business and it's early in the process. There's a lot of time. But then Andy started, you know, ranting.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, maybe there is a lot of consternation.
And even
maybe
though
there's a lot of concern.
Even though we say that every year, you know, this is just how the Patriots – it doesn't matter. Every year it's the same thing. Free agency opens up. You know, teams make the big splash, and everyone's like, what's going on with the
Patriots? Oh, no, when you lose guys. Like when Tlaib signed in Denver last year, people were up in arms. When they lost Welker a couple years ago, people were up in arms. But right now, they haven't lost Revis and McCourty yet.
No, but even other years when it wasn't losing anyone, it just wasn't signing anyone, people were still worried that, you know, why aren't the Patriots doing anything?
This is an anxious time of year.
And last year, it was the opposite. They went out and signed guys.
Right.
Oh, and look what happened.
That's true.
Oh, you won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Hey, picking and choosing what he uses.
Funny how that works.
Had they lost the Super Bowl, it would have been. So you don't draft anybody in the first two rounds. No wonder you lose the Super Bowl.
Right.
That's the beauty of me.
He blows in the wind.
Well, that's the beauty of me. You just you encapsulate.
But Fred, you also don't always. I mean, using your little list you just brought up, you're pissed at the NFL.
Oh well,
get into
people
that.
Don't know what you're talking.
Yeah, get
about.
Into that, and then we'll use it as a reference.
Neither do you.
For us, you know, everyone hates us. We're the Patriots crowd, which I'm. Card-carrying member.
You hate the Patriots?
No.
Everyone hates us.
NFL.com is purposely making it harder for the Patriots to re-sign McCourty by making him the number two free agent, you know, to come out. And Ndamukong Suh is number one, followed by McCourty as the number two free agent, you know, to be on the market.
And you, who have spent the last 3 years telling me how good he is at safety, now want me to believe he's not that good.
How good have I told you that he
is? Oh, you think he is a top-tier safety?
In the NFL?
No, in the NHL. And, Glenn Ordway, don't ask questions for no reason.
And when I say that, how do I always couch
with
that?
With your stupid smirk.
No, there's no good safeties in the
that
league.
That it's a low bar. Because,
even though I don't think you're right about it. I don't think safety's any worse than all the other positions.
So I always say that.
So is he or is he not good?
Safety is like right field in Little League in the NFL.
You really think that?
Wow.
I do.
It's like fullback is like right field.
Middle
linebacker is like right field.
Hey, whoa.
Linebacker.
Middle linebacker.
He just took a shot at James Devlin and Brandon Spikes.
He took a shot at you.
But seriously,
they are my favorite positions.
In all honesty, I do
think there wasn't a shot at you.
I do think that McCourty is one of the better safeties in the league. I do think that.
So there's not enough of them to go around, and one of them's about to hit free agency.
Yeah.
That makes him a prime free agent.
It does, because of the lack. You're right.
And
right.
your
but,
list.
But you would agree, not because he's this all-pro safety,
well,
right?
Pro Bowl safety.
Right, but you know, you know what I'm talking about,
well, he's
right?
a Pro Bowl safety. That's what we're talking
about.
Yeah,
he's not.
He's a Pro Bowl safety who's about to hit the market. When was the last time one of those happened?
I don't know.
Last year, Jairus Byrd.
I'd like to just see what he knows and doesn't know. Well, because you just start talking in lightning quick sentences. No one's even listening to you.
But, you know, if there's a lack of them, that increases the value of them when they hit the open market.
It does.
That's part of the. Do I think Byrd is worth $56 million with 28 guaranteed last year? That's what he got? No. I don't think he's worth that.
But the market is what the guy is worth, what the market will bear.
There's also none in the draft. There's one starting caliber first round safety in the draft, then maybe two in the second round.
That's a guy from Alabama.
And just to finish out this this top tier list, their tier one list is identified as difference makers. Okay.
See, I would not agree with that. I didn't know you called it that.
What?
He's not a difference maker.
I did not call it. NFL.com. Greg Rosenthal and Chris Wesserling, Greg Rosenthal, Chris Wesserling, identified their top tier as difference makers. Number one, Sue. I would agree with that.
I would, too.
Number two, McCourty. Three, Julius Thomas.
I would
agree. Randall Cobb. And five, DeMarco Murray.
Put Cobb ahead of McCourty, but I'm not sure I would put the other two. I have no problem with him being in that group.
See, I would put Murray ahead of McCourty as well.
Why?
He's a running back.
He's a one-year wonder running back.
Who gets hurt every year.
Behind what was considered, generally, the best offensive line in football. So. McCourty is healthy, right? Always healthy.
Yep.
Stays healthy. He's made the Pro Bowl at multiple positions in the back end. It's a passing league, not a running league.
Now, if Greg Hardy didn't have the off-field stuff, would he be in that top tier?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's number eight in tier two impact starters.
Right. Yeah, I don't think McCourty is a game changer. I think any team that signs him to change their defense is going to be utterly disappointed.
Yeah, I agree.
Right?
He's a good component to have.
Yeah,
right.
Good player at a position where there aren't a lot of them, so if one becomes available, you probably got to pay to get it.
So that's all part of the Patriots Nation consternation today.
Okay, I have another question for you since you hate the league, or the league hates you, or both. Would you prefer, because there's another story out of your urine stream, Manish Mehta, that internally Woody Johnson is angling, they want to bring Revis back, blah, blah, blah. Would you rather the NFL issues a very definitive apology for Deflategate? We screwed up, we made you look bad, whatever you want them to say, they say it, or the Jets get hammered for tampering?
I would rather have the apology.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, wow. I'm a little surprised.
I am, too. Because that's nothing. I mean, that's a piece of paper blowing in the wind.
What's the definite? Can I get a little bit more information, please?
I don't really know. Whatever hammering is for tampering.
Well, that's what
second
I want
round
to know.
Pick or something. And $250,000. I don't know. I don't really know what the guidelines are.
Fred, I'll take the apology.
See, I wouldn't.
Because I think there
is. You know who's going to remember the apology? Just you, Goodell, and a couple other people. The rest of the people will still think deflated the balls.
And who's going to remember 5 years from now?
But you hurt the Jets. You stick it to them.
Not really.
In actuality.
Yeah, but you take a draft pick away from them?
I understand that. But I go back to Scott Pelley on the CBS Evening News with 23 million average listeners saying, did Tom Brady cheat his way to the Super Bowl?
Well, let me ask you a question.
Lead story.
Do you think
you can't take that back.
Do you think? That's my point.
I know.
Well, I was going to say that's Andy's point.
But do you think apology be the lead story by Scott Pelley on the CBS Evening News? Because I don't.
I think
you'll be lucky if you make the newscast.
CBS it might.
But I think at the very least.
Good point, Fred.
Well, yes. And to Fred's point, I do think that an apology, an official apology from the NFL is telling everybody who actually listens to the apology that they did not cheat.
Right.
For their success.
Right.
And I think that's the best you can hope for at this point.
The Patriots were fined and lost draft picks for taping a Rams practice in 2001. People still write that.
Oh,
people that write for legitimate news outlets.
I know.
That's my point. Once it's out there,
that's why I want to go on,
out there.
That's why once the Patriots are exonerated for this, I want to go back on the offensive about all that stuff.
Yeah, but I think that the other stuff, they weren't found guilty of that specific detail that you're talking about, but they were found guilty of other things related to that.
NFL, not related to that in any way.
No,
relating to taping illegally. That particular detail is not what
using
they were found
video
guilty
cameras.
Of.
I guess.
Okay.
I mean,
it's under the umbrella of using.
So they once may have done child porn because that uses video cameras. Like,
yep, that's exactly the same thing.
Well, I
you're
think
right.
it's
that's
totally
exactly
illogical to make that leap and say
they
it's
were
okay
found
to think
guilty.
That.
The NFL did not apologize to the Patriots for Spygate.
Right.
They were found guilty of it.
Right. And it has nothing to do with
a
Rams practice.
And there's
a
detail that the Boston Herald wrote that was wrong.
Right.
That's not the same thing as they did absolutely nothing wrong. That's not the same thing.
Yeah, they did absolutely nothing wrong in 2002.
Right, but they were never okay.
Like, they're two different incidents.
Yeah, but see, the league...
Just because you're guilty of one thing doesn't mean you're guilty of everything.
It's not the same.
The league didn't handle that situation the way they handled this Deflategate.
I agree with you,
okay,
Fred.
Now, the other thing I want to say about Deflategate, and my you know, I'm mad at the league, but I'm starting to get more mad at the Colts, but it's based on an assumption. And my assumption is that once, you know, this investigation happened, if someone from the Colts called, what's his name, Kravitz, then I'm more mad at the Colts than I am with the league.
Well, did you because see that why, was out
why,
there, right?
Why did they you know, again, I'm assuming they're the ones that did it. Why did they have to do that? Once they filed the complaint and the league said, okay, we're going to investigate this, why did they then have to go call Kravitz and tell him?
Well, they didn't have to.
No, that's my point.
That's his point.
They were pissy.
That's his point.
Right. So now, if that's true, that might make me more mad because that really kind of, you know, otherwise it would have been an investigation. We would have probably found out about it after the fact, whatever. But the fact that they tipped off Kravitz kind of put the ball in motion here.
Yeah,
from a public standpoint, it did.
I have no problem with what the Colts did. I have every problem with what the league did.
Wait, you have no problem with them calling Kravitz
and saying the NFL is investigating? It's a fact.
I know it's a fact. But why do you?
I get Fred's point though. No. I mean, can't you keep your dirty laundry in the house?
Why do you have to go make it public? You don't think the Patriots have complained about other teams? They don't call, you know, Ben Volen every time they do that.
Well, I have a question for you in regards to that, and I don't know the answer to this, so don't jump down my throat if I have this all wrong.
I'm ready.
Okay.
Right. But I don't think he's going to fit.
How do we find out that the Patriots filed tampering charges on the Jets?
I don't know that. That's a good point.
My guess is Adam Schefter reported it, and my guess is that we told him.
Yeah.
That's just my guess, but I don't know that for a fact.
And I also don't have a problem with that.
I do.
No, that's how news comes to light. Facts get leaked.
Yeah. I know.
They didn't do anything wrong. The league did something wrong. The league can't keep its poop together. Right? Yeah.
No, that's true. But I might be more mad at the Colts if that's
true. I would not be.
I understand your anger with the Colts for making it public. But to be more upset with the Colts because they filed a complaint and told a local writer about it. To be more mad at that than, as Andy's point is, the NFL for completely botching the entire investigation and leaking all kinds of detail for every step of the way to various writers, how can you be more mad at the Colts?
The Colts are my enemy. I know the Colts are my enemy. They've been my enemy for a decade, right? We've gone back and forth. Yeah. The league's not supposed to be my enemy. And right now it feels like they're my enemy.
It's true.
I don't like that.
Yeah. But I
keep your enemies close and whatever it is.
Your friends close, enemies closer.
Yeah, that.
What Eric says.
But more importantly, how did the text get out
there? What's
the
name of that place?
Canberra.
What text?
The text to Kravitz. How did that get out there?
I don't know.
Does nobody know that?
No.
I don't even know what you're talking about. What text?
The Washington Post printed the text.
The text was,
hurry up,
call me immediately, something very important. I'm paraphrasing. Something
they had
very
the exact
important.
Text. The word
really?
Of the.
Call me immediately, very important, something like that.
From who?
Doesn't from whoever say. To Kravitz.
Doesn't oh, they say. Don't know who
a
it
text.
Is.
Wow, but I don't know how you get it without knowing.
Well, Kravitz probably put it out there.
It's got to be James Irsay.
You think so?
From James Irsay to.
Certainly what it seems like.
Right?
What are you doing? Well,
you read the same thing I did,
what
and
are
that's
you doing? You know?
The inference.
It's,
I get your point about that. Like, why would he have to do that? But how could you be
pissy.
More how could you be
cheating.
More upset about the Colts? All the Colts did was file a charge.
And they're your enemy.
But now, if you want to get into the other stuff.
If that's all they did, then I wouldn't be as mad. But that's not all they did. They went and then, after filing the charge, told someone to get it out there. That's what I'm talking about.
I don't have a problem.
Anyway, we're not here to talk about the Deflategate.
No, we're here to talk about McCourty and Gostkowski and Reeves.
Right, and what's going on with all that. So a lot of emails. I'm sure.
Did you answer the question?
Which question?
0-2 and 2-0?
I said 2-0. I think they will get, if I had to choose,
I think 2-0. I think 2-0.
I think they'll get
because
both.
Because I really think Reeves is coming back. And if I think one of them is coming back, then I have to go on more likely 2-0.
I don't know, man. You know, I get worried because now there's this.
See, I go the other way. McCourty's now gone. And if I think one of them's gone, then I got to go more than likely gone.
But think about it this way, okay?
It all comes down to what you think is more of a certainty. And I think I just can't fathom them allowing Reeves to go.
You mentioned the report from Metadata today about.
Metadata.
About
we've moved on from urine stream.
You know,
it's metadata.
Woody Johnson is really leaning on his new GM. You know, if Reeves gets into free agents to get him back,
I'll give you $1,000 right now if you can name the Jets GM.
Gregson. No, that's the Colts.
Just so you know, I can't either.
McTagnan.
It's got M's and C's and G's in it. Right?
I know he took over for Idzik.
I think it's Mike McTagnan.
Yeah,
something like that.
McTagney?
It's an Irish
McTagney
thing.
And Lacey?
Which I knew you were going to say that.
He's so obvious.
I know.
But, you know, so you take that report, and then you take the history of Revis and his agent that, you know, money is important to them, you know? And all these reports that the suitors would be lined up for Revis. Isn't the agent's job to get to free agent and see what those offers would be, even if the Patriots make me a nice offer?
Well, no.
No?
If the Patriots offer 4 years and $75 million or whatever they think is, like, a lot, and he's happy here, then no.
I think about Shark
That's
Tank.
Scott Boras.
You're a Shark Tank fan, right?
I love it.
Person comes in, the first person makes him an offer. They always want
they
to
never
see
just take it.
What
they
the
want
to, others have
and
to
And every
say.
Once in a while, it's like Damon or Mr. Wonderful, and they get all pissy,
gotta,
and then
right.
they take the offer off the
exactly.
table.
But that's not...
Cuban will take his ball and go home.
Right.
It's a little different. Because I think there is a true value in your happiness. You're not... It's all things are not equal.
But what really does make him happy?
Well, we'll find
well, no,
out.
But if he gets $75 million and stays in a place that he likes where he can win, then he gets all the best of both worlds. You're right. If he's a true mercenary... If he sees St. Louis as the same as New York, as the same as New England, as the same as Tampa, then yes, he should
the,
go to free agency.
Dollar sign. Yeah.
But I don't think he is.
Okay.
I think there are other factors in play.
He's been called that before.
Yeah, by me.
Right.
When he said all year, I'm here for now, and for now I'm here, and for now I'm a Patriot.
We're not going to start that again.
But now, don't disregard, by the way, like, this is a stupid little thing, but could he care whether McCourty's back or not?
Well, I think that's big, because I think one of the reasons I feel he'll be back was because I felt like he really fit in with that group.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask me about that group specifically, I would say McCourty.
Right.
Yeah.
McCourty
so
is
if
the
he looks
leader.
At that and says, they didn't franchise him. They want to sign me first. I don't like the idea of sign. I want to make sure he's back.
Right.
He's part of the reason why I want to be back. Again,
you don't know, but
no one knows these things for sure.
All of a sudden, he's playing with Daron Harmon or something. Not that he doesn't like Harmon, but it changes the dynamic.
Yeah,
and I do think McCourty isn't just the leader on the field. He's the leader of that little crap fest they always have going on, where it's always NBA and stuff. I don't know what they're talking about.
There's always the wily
he's
veteran
always in
that
there.
The grandfather usually has everybody in, and that's Devin McCourty. I mean, he's an old soul. I'm sorry. You know, I think he is the leader of that group.
Yeah. No, but
in
I
all seriousness.
I wanted to make sure it off the field too, not just on the field communication.
Oh,
I think I think Revis probably cares about that on some level too, like you've always said.
No,
on the
we're all talking in the locker room off the field.
I think he's a big part of that.
Yeah.
Like, you would lose a lot.
And I don't think people think of him
off
that
the
way,
field.
That like,
if Daron Harmon took that job next year, there's a reasonable chance that he's a reasonable facsimile of McCourty on the field. Probably not as good, okay? But there's a chance that he could be okay as the free safety on the field. But Andy's point, there's no way he's replacing him off the field.
No.
I don't think.
That's true.
Did you see the tweet yesterday from McCourty tweeted about going to the gym yesterday. I don't know if you happen to see that. He's like, I love this offseason where I get a chance to go to a regular gym. Can't get over a guy benching in loafers or something. He's laughing. And Marquise Cole.
You didn't have your loafers on, did you?
I would never wear anything but sneakers at the gym.
And then Zubas.
But Marquise Cole responded to him and said, you're about to be able to buy any gym you want. So don't worry about it. But don't forget me, too. # Get Queese out of the hood.
Yeah. Oh, I saw that.
Or out the hood or something like that.
What exactly do you mean?
Get me out. Yeah, I don't have any
job.
Money. I'm living down by the hood. Don't forget your brother.
Right.
It made me. It was tremendous.
All right.
Speaking of those random tweets.
Yeah.
I don't want to be Florio. You know how I detest Florio. But we talk about everything here. Did you notice that Mrs. Wilfork tweeted out, thanks, everyone? Or thanks
not.
You for everything.
I don't follow.
Thank
Mrs.
everyone
Wilfork.
For everything. Just out of nowhere. And I clicked on it to see if it went to, like, people were thanking.
Right.
There was nothing. And at this time of year, I always think those could be, Vince was cut. He's
gone.
I
know they just
thanking everybody for everything.
They just finished a promotion where they gave away something. So
okay,
I'm assuming
that.
That's what it was to
or
all
Vince
the people
is gone.
Who entered.
Andy just takes a leap.
Well, he is the most likely cap casualty. You can save $8 million
straight away.
Take a hatchet to it.
He's going to be a free agent, right? Because they have to. That option bonus is the ninth, right? First day of the league year, the end of the league year. So he's going to become a free agent, I would think.
Maybe they're moving on.
I think there's a very good chance of
this. This is a very, very interesting free agent year, you know, for the Patriots, you know, for the league, but for the Patriots specifically. It really
and it goes
is.
Deep. Like, and, we talk about the McCourty or Revis.
It's a good thing they won the Super Bowl. Because all this stuff would have happened anyway.
It's a good thing they won the Super Bowl so people like Jerry Thornton can say, they know what they're doing.
Well, it's true. It's true. You know, you have the ammunition.
That was a little bit of a
shot. All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline.
On the periphery of all this, you know, we talk about, like, as Andy just said, we talk about everything. All that Patriot stuff, which is fascinating, and that's going to dominate our conversation. More Andre Johnson news.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
John,
I was stunned.
John
we didn't get any emails.
Yeah.
Last check, I didn't have an email.
I think people are too overwhelmed, worried about right. you know, all the other stuff with the in-house stuff.
I thought for sure I'd have a few Ask PFWs. What do you think about making a trade with Billy O'Brien for Andre Johnson?
We did get a tweet asking us if the Patriots would be interested.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, John McClain put a report out there that he has been given permission to seek a trade. He has asked for his release and be given permission to seek a trade because his role will diminish next year. So that puts the whole thing that we did last year with Andre Johnson back on the table for this whole offseason.
Are you interested?
Sure.
Yeah. Patriots.
I think he makes sense, and because I do feel that they need another outside receiver with LaFell.
And plus, it's in Texas, kind of so we could give him a seventh-round pick, right?
No. I don't get the joke.
Billy O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien.
I don't know. They got a quarterback for a seventh-round pick, so why couldn't we get a wide receiver?
I feel bad for him a little bit.
Who, Mallett?
No, Johnson.
Oh.
Like, the whole thing was he was going to end his career. Will he not end his career? He's going to be a career Texan. And he goes through these years where he's got, like, six quarterbacks, and he's just – now it's like, we don't need you anymore. You're going to have less of a role. Yeah, I would have liked to have had less of a role when you were rolling out dip poops as quarterbacks.
Hey, well – you know, if he comes here and has a chance to win,
there is going to be one of those signings this year. I'm like all in on that. Yeah. One of those veteran guy just wants to win a ring, Super Bowl 50 kind of Junior Seau types. There will be one of those this year. I don't know who it is, but there'll be.
All right,
it's not going to be Junior Seau.
Oh,
wow!
What?
Wow!
Wait,
he just made a dead joke. Let's go to the phones. Miguel from PatsCap.com is calling in. You guys have any salary cap questions for Miguel?
Yes.
I really don't.
I do.
But
I actually
I'll let
have
you
one.
Guys talk.
I have one big question.
Okay, so let's get him on the phone. I know he has to get back to work. Hey, Miguel, thanks for calling in.
Hey, Fred. How you doing, Eric?
Good.
How you doing, Miguel?
So before we get to questions, Miguel, what's your reaction to the salary cap? The franchise tag on Gostkowski, and what do you think that means, you know, if anything, for Revis and McCourty?
I was surprised they tagged Gostkowski at that month because he's got such a large tag number. He's like at $4.59 million. I was very surprised about that. But then again, it makes sense. But I was wondering why couldn't they reach a deal with him? Because the only reason you tag him is that you couldn't reach a deal beforehand.
Right.
It's still, you know, so, but he still have time to lower his number to the $3 to $4 million range. As it relates to McCourty and Revis, I don't think that the tagging him relates to Revis at all. I think more relates to how they feel about McCourty. Either they feel they're real close to a deal and they didn't have a need to tag McCourty, or they're willing to have McCourty have his value set by the market.
Which could be scary for them because I think the market is going to set that value pretty high.
Could be, and then he'll have to decide what he wants for his life. You know, he could decide that his best chance to win Super Bowls is with the Patriots, or he decides to get some more money. It's his choice.
So you think the Patriots might have said, just give us the opportunity to, you know, answer any offer you get out there?
What if he could get both?
Well, that's what I would sign with the Colts immediately.
What if he could get a really good chance to win in the playoffs and get the money?
He could do both. There are the Patriots are not the Patriots are not the only team that could win a Super Bowl. So he could do both. He may want to say, like, I'll lead another team to a Super Bowl.
Well, yeah, that's why I think Indy is fascinating.
And it's funny, Miguel, that you brought that up. I was talking about Revis specifically this morning with a bunch of my friends and going back and forth. And, you know, they just kept saying, I can't see him signing with a non-contender. And I sort of agree with that. I don't think Revis would sign with a non-contender. But I also think that your definition of a non-contender and his may be different. He might look at a team and say, well, if they sign me, they sign me and they're a contender. Like the Colts, I don't look right now as a contender. I think they're a really good team. They're obviously a solid playoff team, but they're not championship caliber in my mind. McCourty might look at it, like Andy just said.
I would look at him as that.
And say, they get a good safety like me. They got Vontae Davis and Greg Toler, good corners. Now they have a good safety. Yeah, maybe we are championship caliber.
I can put him from the AFC title game to the Super Bowl.
Maybe.
That's how I would look at it if I were him. I mean, they are very close, in my opinion, and I'm latching on to the quarterback. Now, you know, I'm signing a five-year deal with Andrew Luck as opposed to a five-year deal with Jimmy Garoppolo maybe as part of that or, you know, those things that factor in.
I think there's a lot of different things that you can talk yourself into as a player.
Close to his brother, his brother twice a year.
Yeah, yeah. And that'd be interesting. I was going to say that would be an example of a team that I would, you know, Tennessee, Oakland.
No, I'm saying in the division.
Yeah, those are the teams I wouldn't sign with, but you can make an argument for Indy, Cincinnati. You know, those teams that are on the cusp that, you know, that just can't get over the hump. Baltimore needs secondary help. That's a pretty good team. Now, they're not really in position.
Eric
had
a question.
Yeah, what's your cap question, Eric?
Yeah,
big one.
Well, all the numbers that came out yesterday with the teams and the adjusted numbers, because the league said 143.28, I think, was the cap. And then with the adjustments, New England comes out to about $144 million, or take a little bit.
Yep.
I think I saw that you were saying that currently New England is about $8 million over. And they
That was before they tagged Gutkowski. After they tagged Gutkowski, I now have them right over $12 million. Over the cap.
$12 million over.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Because he wasn't originally on the books, and now he's on the books.
Right. Okay. Right. Okay. Because before they tagged Gustowski, I was seeing Doug Kide was saying that they were $11 million over, and that was before that the tag had actually been placed. So I was wondering what the discrepancy was.
Okay. The discrepancy is that he's using numbers off the NFLPA site.
Yeah.
The NFLPA site doesn't actually use the top 51 rule until the league year begins.
Okay.
So you'll see that number change, and it was right. The NFLPA site will say, I think right now it says 159 million, but that's if you include the salaries of
everybody
on the roster. That's 61 million. That's 61 players. For the top 51 rule, you're only including the salaries of the players of the
right.
Another thing I think a lot of fans, including me, could use some clearing up is, you know, the Patriots are $12 million over the cap right now. But at the same time, there's this thing called cash spending that the Patriots have to do. They have to spend some cash to get up to a league minimum. I don't know what it is.
89%.
89%, and they're only at like
over a 4-year window.
So what is
and we're halfway through that
What
window.
Does this mean? What do the Patriots need to do, Miguel, other than lowering their cap number somehow? What do they need to do as far as spending cash this year?
Well, they don't have to spend cash. The deadline is March 2017. So you have this year, which includes this offseason, next offseason, and February in the early part of March 2017. So in 2007, let's say that they have to spend money to get to the 89% level. They have extensions with Hightower. They have extensions with Chandler Jones. They have extensions with Jamie Collins. They just punt all those contracts in 2017, pay them in February 2017. They make the 89% without a problem.
So there's plenty of time there.
Yeah, I mean, even, you know, Miguel will correct me if I'm wrong, because as Matt Nosox would say, I'm sure I am. But, like, even Revis' cap number is scheduled to be $25 million with that bonus that he's not going to get. So that lowers a cap number right off the go.
Yep.
But then you have the opportunity to sign him to a long-term extension in which that he will get
cash,
you know, a signing bonus around, you know, a $15 million signing bonus of some sort. That's cash, right, Miguel?
Yeah.
So that chips away getting you closer to the 89% while also lowering the cap number.
Right. So, for example, if they were to give Revis a $30 million signing bonus tomorrow or today, right, they would get, that $30 million would get prorated over 5 years at $6 million each, but the Patriots would get credit for cash spending of $30 million,
right,
signing bonus, plus whatever his salary is.
Right, right.
So his cash for 2015 would go from $20 million to $30
million. Right.
With a deal.
I have a quick question for you that I don't actually know the specific answer to. I know the Patriots were given a small cap credit for Aaron Hernandez, and I think it might have been workout bonus related, but what was that exactly, that ruling for, and what was that money?
Okay. About Aaron Hernandez, when he had in his deal guaranteed money. He had guaranteed salary, and he also had a guaranteed workout bonus. For 2013, the workout bonus was for 1 year, and in 2013 and 2014, he had guaranteed salary. When he got cut, he filed a grievance for it. So in the later part of 2013, right around the end of October, the Patriots were charged 40% of what he of his salary, those two salary amounts. All right. So then they had the grievance. Obviously, the Patriots won, and the amount of, you see the carryover,
yeah,
that as Eric had mentioned, went up by the $1.1 million. So the Patriots got a credit for that.
Okay.
Because he had filed a grievance. He obviously lost the grievance. I'm stunned. This is actually going to be the first people besides me who's actually reported on this. So great news for the Patriots football Congress. I said this in January, and no one's picked up this story.
Oh.
Okay. All right.
Tell Jerry Thornton. Jerry Thornton needs a little primer with you. Did you notice him on Twitter?
I called Jerry Thornton yesterday and waited 30 minutes to talk to him, and I heard them, and then after 3 minutes, I was done. I swear, I said that he was wrong about the cash spending. That ended the call.
Wow, you're fighting with Thornton. I like it.
Wow.
Miguel, I got your back.
I know. It's like my wife's co-workers heard, and it's like, wow, they hung up on him. I'm like, okay.
Well, if they don't want to be enlightened,
can't handle
then
the
screw
truth.
Them.
They don't,
that's right.
They can't take this factual type talk, you know.
They can't admit when they're wrong, like we do all the time here.
Yeah. I have a lot of practice.
I ended last Thursday's show by saying, next time we talk, Devin McCourty will be franchised. He wasn't. What do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, because, like, people ask me, will you ever call on the Felger? I'm like, why would I do that?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Felger doesn't want to be enlightened.
Yeah,
he wants people to be enlightened by him.
By definition, everything you say is crap because the cap is crap.
Well, I have to admit, Miguel, I fall on Felger's side on that. I think just what we're talking about with Darrell Revis is proof of that.
Oh, right, because
you can give him more money, as Miguel just said, and lower the cap number.
Right, but it's
but Paul, here's one example. The Steelers played the worst two divisions last year. And we're one of the healthiest teams in the NFL. I could have told you at the beginning of the season they weren't making a Super Bowl because they had cap problems.
Yeah, okay, but they're notorious for having one of the worst capologists in football.
Well, and I'm going to ignore their cap problems.
No,
and just
you
ask
can
you one.
Screw it up.
I'm
going to
ask you.
Crap.
Can I just
it's
ask you one
crap.
Simple question?
You can screw
what would the Pittsburgh Steelers record have been last year if Bill Belichick was their coach? Forget about cap problems. Forget about anything. No changes to the roster. Bill Belichick is the coach instead of Mike Tomlin. What's their record? Do you think?
I don't know.
I'm asking what you think. I'm not asking what you know. Well, obviously, it's impossible to know. What do you think?
It'd be better. Maybe. Mike Tomlin's not a very good coach.
Tomlin's a bad coach. Bill Belichick's a great one.
They canned their defensive coordinator.
But you can be in cap trouble, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay.
If you're an idiot, you can be in cap trouble.
Crap.
But
if you're an idiot, you can be in cap trouble.
My point is it's very easy to get out of it, as the Patriots will do in a week. The Patriots are, what did you say, Miguel, $12 million over?
Right, but it's not like...
And this time next week, it won't even be an issue.
I know, but it's not like the Patriots made a mistake to be in this position. They knew this was coming. They planned for this.
Well, you don't think anybody else does that?
No, but teams make mistakes.
Look what the Saints are doing. Look what the Saints and look.
Yeah, the Patriots made a mistake with Aaron Hernandez.
What? That wasn't a mistake. It was just
of course
bad.
It was.
It was just bad, bad luck with him.
It's a bad contract too. Danny Amendola was a bad contract.
That's true.
Well, yeah.
Everybody makes mistakes. The Patriots are more equipped to deal with them because they have a great coach and a great quarterback.
And when you do, there are cap ramifications.
Exactly.
So it's not crap.
but it's very easy to fix, is what I'm saying. God. In the NHL, it's not easy to fix because it's a real cap.
It doesn't matter compared to other caps. It's still not
It's crap. Not a hard cap to deal with, is what I'm saying. It's very easy to manipulate. That's all.
Okay.
That's the only thing I disagree with you about. All the other stuff, I'm right with you.
But I also think that there are some teams that do it better than others.
Exactly. Yeah.
And thereby, it's not crap.
Yes, I agree.
It's not crap.
Why? Because some teams are good and some teams aren't?
Because it's not that easy. If every team is
I disagree with you about, Fred, is I think the Pittsburgh was not good last year because of their coach and because of their personnel, not because of the cap.
Well, I didn't say
that's
that
the only thing
said
I disagree with you about.
I think that some teams do it better than others.
But the state, okay, for example, the New Orleans Saints, and the Cowboys kept on pushing money. They need to make sure. They had very little depth last year, so people got hurt, like Tony Romo, blah blah blah. They're not doing anything. All right, the Saints are in that position right now where they're pushing money out into the future. They end up paying a price. I mean, it helps them that the cap going up keeps on going up more and more. I mean, Felger and Saints has been saying cap is crap when the cap was increasing by a couple $1 million. Now it's going up by $10 million. So now he thinks he looks good. It wasn't crap. 10 years ago when the cap was going up $2 to $3 million.
I think that what happens with Mike in particular, and I'm defensive of Mike because I go on that show, obviously, but I think that when he says the cap is crap, that everybody interprets that as him saying that there is no cap. It doesn't exist. Obviously, when we exaggerate with our words, yes, you have to make decisions and you have to decide who you want, and you have to be cap compliant. I get that.
But here's what...
It's just not that hard.
But this is why
it's not as difficult and complicated as people make it out to be.
I know, but this is why I get defensive when I hear people say the cap is crap. Because in my mind, and, you know, it's my crazy filter, it's the next thing is the owners can do anything they want. They're just cheap. And that's why you start off with the cap is crap. And
so it's the voices in your head.
Well, but it's true. You know that's where Felger's coming from.
I think that what Felger's talking about is when you go out and get a little bit aggressive and spend some money, it shows. And I think right now the three teams, and Miguel, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I saw someone tweet out earlier, the three teams with the most amount of cap space right now are Oakland, Jacksonville, and the Jets. You can make an argument those are the three worst teams in football.
Yep.
The Patriots have the second highest overage behind New Orleans. They're Super Bowl champs. So you go out and get aggressive and you spend money and you get a guy like Revis, as those two idiots like to say, you get horses instead of ponies, you win. That's their point.
Yeah, but
it's not about cheap.
But Tony and Mike,
it's about what they decide that they're going to do for moves.
You know, every team should just go out and try to get the best guys available, regardless of what their system is.
The best guys for you. Spend the money.
Right,
if you,
it, right. I agree with that, but their point is,
and I don't want to hijack all of Miguel here, but I think what their point is, and my point is, if you identify a guy that you think fits your system, go and go all the way. Don't have interest in him, but lose out. If you really wanted Wes Welker two years ago, you shouldn't have lost out over a pittance, 10 to 12 million. If you really wanted him, that's why I said to you that I don't think that Wes Welker wanted to be back, and I don't really think the Patriots wanted him back. That's why we argued about that at the time, because I just didn't find that was worth losing out on. But again, I don't want to let Miguel finish because he knows a lot more about this stuff than any of us do. And
I gotta go back to work.
All right. Miguel,
thanks for calling in.
All right.
Thanks for clearing some stuff up there. Yep. Thank you.
All right. Let's go to Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. That was a great get with Miguel. He's been pretty good.
He's great. I don't know why radio stations don't use him more, except he called us Patriots Football Congress, I think.
Something like that.
But that's okay.
I just had a couple of worries and concerns. And two guys that I think that aren't going to be on this team next year are going to be Vince Wilfork, and I think to maybe some people's surprise is going to be Mayo. And the reason I think with Mayo is that you have two young backers that played really well for you this year, and you won a championship with them, and you're going to need to sign both of them. And you have an awful lot of money allocated to Mayo. Obviously, they can work out a deal, where he can certainly, take a pay cut and come back to the team. But I think you got to factor in that the past two seasons for him have ended with injuries. And I just think it's time for some. I love the new blood in the position, and I want to keep adding new blood to that position. I don't know what your guys' thoughts are on that about Mayo, but I'm sorry, too. I got to go to lunch, too, since I was on hold so long.
All right. Sorry about that.
See you, Christian.
No problem.
All right.
Bye.
I wouldn't be, have time for our nonsense today.
I wouldn't be devastated if they lost Mayo.
I wouldn't be devastated on a general sense, but the injury to Hightower, you have no depth. There's a concern there. There's a and the injury to Mayo and his whole situation, which I still don't really understand exactly how you get out from underneath Mayo with his injury.
You have
salary
to you have to wait till he's healthy because
right,
you
which
can't,
you can't really
but,
do
right. Yeah.
Because he's not going to be healthy until
it's a what's
late
it,
in
four
the
four and a half
right.
million,
four and
guaranteed,
a half million
right?
guaranteed salary if he's injured, and he's injured right now,
yeah.
and he's going to be injured theoretically for a while.
It's a tough spot.
So I mean, if he is totally pliable, if he's just, yeah, I want to be here and I understand you've paid me well and now I get hurt, and he basically just hands you a blank contract and said, fill it in, I want to stay, then, okay, that's the
right.
ideal situation.
Well,
and he
like,
might. You know, Gerard Belichick.
I was listening to them talk about, on Touch and Rich this morning, I think Ben Volen was on, and they were talking about Amendola, you know, and they were saying, like, I think it's like $3.6 million or something around that, you know, and so, if he takes a pay cut, well, if I'm Danny Amendola, why do I want to take a pay cut?
Right.
You know, I mean, I've been sort of put. You go with the whole like to win a title and all that stuff. Well, for him, it's kind of the opposite. He's kind of a bit player. He was pushed on the back burner. He signed here with the idea of being a much bigger part of the offense than he has been. I can go somewhere else and make my money and maybe resurrect my career. And I was a big part of them winning a Super Bowl.
Yep.
So I have that for me.
I might be willing to restructure and push it out and get a little bonus now, but I don't think the Patriots would do
no,
that.
No, God no.
Right.
No, I think they need to save money on
right.
that deal. That's like,
I think he's going to be traded at the draft.
I think that he's a candidate for that, absolutely. And
fourth
you know,
round pick or something at the draft.
Ben's thought was they asked him if they were going to cut him, and Ben said, no, I don't know. I'm like, well, I don't think pay cuts are just automatic. I don't think it's very easy to just get a guy to take a pay cut.
No, I don't either. But the issue with him is you don't really save that much money. It's like 1.4. But if you replace him, now he's, the rule of 51,
yeah,
you slot
right.
somebody else in at 500,000. Now you've saved 800 grand. Is that worth it?
I could
it?
See them trading him for a pick.
I think he could get traded.
Absolutely. I'm with you.
Traded.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
I think he's a strong candidate because he was, he was pretty good down
he
the
showed
stretch.
Some value.
You try to, talk somebody into, We have too many of those guys.
We have Edelman.
We
like Edelman
better. We didn't have the chance to get him involved.
Sure.
Now, I don't exactly buy that. I kind of feel like that argument we had like in September about why can't you get him involved? I know that he's like Edelman, but you're telling me there's no way to game plan where you can utilize some of his skills? And then in December and January, it seemed like they utilized some of his skills. And I don't know why they didn't want to do that earlier, how that played out. But I think you can sell somebody on. He has stayed healthy for a year plus now, and look how productive he was for us against the best defense in football in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think that early on, weren't they trying? They tried a game with Boyce. They tried a game early with Dobson. They had other guys they were trying to fit in there, and I think the whole Edelman thing really just threw Amendola upside down because when they signed Amendola, they didn't know they had Edelman.
Right, and that's what everybody says. I just say, we give these guys credit, Josh and Bill, for putting people in position to succeed and maximizing talent.
Yeah.
Should he have been maximized before December?
Probably.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But he had, I just looked it up.
They did okay without doing that.
Yes, but he had, six or seven games with no catches.
Yeah.
And then December to through the Super Bowl, I think five of six games he had four or more catches and three touchdowns in the postseason. You couldn't have balanced that out a little more somehow? I don't know.
Yeah,
and maybe you're right. Maybe they were trying to figure out other stuff, and then when they realized all that other stuff doesn't work, let's just go with Amendola.
Don't you think there was less of that this year, though?
A little bit, yeah.
Well, Boyce wasn't on the roster at all.
Right.
Dobson really only played one game.
But it could also
a little
be,
Tim's
it also
and,
could be
oh,
how,
we need a deep
how
threat.
Later
maybe
in the season defenses were, they thought that defenses were going to play him, and, maybe they needed that extra option. They seem to know what they were doing.
All right, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
It's true, though.
So we shouldn't talk about it at all.
No, we are.
Isn't part of the fun of sports analyzing these decisions and
I also
what
think,
we would do?
I also think a positive result isn't necessarily indicative that it was a plan all along. Like, they knew what they were doing. Sometimes things sort of fall into place. And I think
Belichick will be the first person to tell you that sometimes you don't make the decision. You let time, you know, make the decision for you.
No,
he's,
but like,
he said that before.
So, I mean, even though
McCourty's gone,
I was on the other part of I was on the other part of the argument with Andy, and I still think that if something were to happen to Edelman, Amendola would be okay as Edelman. But he's right. Like, Andy's right when he says,
yeah.
Why couldn't He'll they have you. Done what they did the last couple of games all year? Why couldn't they have coexisted all year?
I don't know.
Why didn't they shrug on radio? Fred.
But they, but shouldn't? But if we're giving them credit, well, you know, it worked out. Well,
right.
Well, if we're giving them all that credit, but then why didn't they do it earlier?
I mean, other than the first four games, after that, were we saying, boy, they really need another option?
No.
You know, so that's maybe why.
No, I know, and there are both sides of that argument. But if you have another option, use it.
Yeah,
would be my.
I'm all for keeping people's heads in the game and all that.
It's always better to have better talent on the field. And
now,
be
maybe
better.
It's as simple as Gronkowski was otherworldly in October and November, and then he sort of tailed off a little bit as teams really focused on, and that opened up the door
well,
for Amendola. Maybe it's
maybe
as simple
later,
as that. I don't
later
know.
In the year, the way defenses were playing them, they were
sure.
doing a better job.
Or
against,
Tim Wright.
Yeah.
You know, Tim Wright wasn't a big factor in the Super Bowl or, you know, some of those game plans.
Right.
Maybe, you know, flip-flopping some of the Tim Wright reps.
Yeah.
I also – oh, forgot.
Okay, while you're thinking, let's go to McCabe in Virginia. Hey,
too.
McCabe. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
First of all, what are your thoughts on the pass tagging Gostkowski?
Yeah, I don't love it. I think
I
it's
either.
Such a waste on a kicker.
Yeah.
I have no problem with it.
Oh, why don't just give him 4 years and $16 million or whatever the hell you're
going to
have
to give him. That's what'll end up happening.
So we wasted a tag.
I know, that's a waste of a tag.
And then put the tag on McCourty or somebody you can trade or do whatever.
Because I don't mind giving Gostkowski $4.5 million, but I would mind giving McCourty $9.5 million.
Would the play?
Who said you're going to give it to
him?
Maybe you trade him.
Maybe you work out a deal.
But if he signs it, then I might be stuck with him. I have to be prepared to give it to him.
And I'm stuck with my Pro Bowl safety that I love, that everybody says is great.
I didn't say – first of all, I've never
said
he was
great. Wait,
finish
that sentence. Finish that sentence.
I've never said he's great.
No.
I don't want McCourty at $9.6 million.
I'm starting to think they don't want McCourty.
I'm
starting to think
him.
That they agree more with me than they think.
Well, like Miguel said, you know, not putting on McCourty may be one of two things, that they are very close or they're not even in the same stratosphere.
I think it's that. I think they've learned a little bit maybe from their $50 million deal to Vince Wilfork and $50 million to Logan Mankins and $50 million to Gerard Mayo.
$50 million deals are only for guys that are truly
right.
special,
He's
like
not
Darrell
a 50,
Revis.
Right. He is not a $50 million player. Darrell Revis is. Rob Gronkowski is. Game
and that
changers.
And that doesn't mean that I don't think Devin McCourty is a valuable player. I think he's a good player. I just don't think he's a great player.
But for $30 million, you can get somebody to plug in.
Maybe even less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like T.J. Ward. You know, everybody was in love with him last year, and he got like $23 million to go to Denver on a, whatever, four-year deal or something.
Yeah.
You can find somebody. What's the drop-off?
Right.
And is the drop-off in talent less than the drop-off in money?
Right.
If I'm saving $8 million, but I only lost 10% of the player, well, that seems like a pretty good deal
right.
to me.
And then I can spend some more money somewhere else.
Make sure I keep Revis, who's right. the real one.
What else you got, McCabe?
Who are you looking to draft in the draft? Like, because we got a receiver. What do we work on our offensive line?
I think everyone here agrees offensive defensive line is a major priority,
and especially if Vince isn't here.
Yeah,
if Vince isn't here, now you can sell me on defensive line is the biggest priority over offensive line,
and that's now too. Now that could change dramatically over the next month if Revis and McCourty are gone. All of a sudden, that secondary needs to be addressed.
Yes, no question. You're right. If I'm right and they go 0-2, you need to draft some coverage guys.
Yeah, but that's, you know,
that's
free agency is a month old by the time you start getting into, you know, that real nitty-gritty of the mock draft process.
We're talking about, you know, the end result and whether the decision actually led to the end result or just it kind of happened and Felger logic type stuff. I don't totally 100% believe they would not have won the Super Bowl this year without Darrell Revis.
Oh, I don't.
I think you had a healthy Gronkowski. Like, everything we've talked about forever, you finally had. Now, their chances were a million times better. Don't get me wrong. Revis was important. But I'm still not sold that without Revis, you still could have won the Super Bowl. Right?
Sure.
So it's like, you know, Felger and Maz will say forever, you gone out and got a horse and you finally won the Super. Well,
you don't know.
And Gronkowski stayed healthy.
Yeah, in 2011, when they lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl, it was a close game. They could have won that game. Who did they go in that offseason and pick up and that was like this big splash?
Conversely, if Gronkowski had blown out his knee in November, you may have not won the Super Bowl, even though you still signed Darrell Revis.
Right.
You got a horse.
Right.
And I don't think there's a may about it. I think you would have lost. But I look at it both ways, both sides. But that to me is – and I heard our buddy Kirk Minahan this morning said they would not have won the Super Bowl without Darrell Revis. That's a really hard thing to prove.
Right.
That's a really hard thing to prove because I can look at how great Revis was during the course of the season. And I do think that he had a noticeable impact on that defense. Fred, you called him the transforming type player, transformational player, and it was absolutely accurate. But when it came down to it, what Andy just said is true. In the playoffs, if Gronkowski had a torn ACL, you had to win two shootouts in the playoffs.
That's true.
You came a whisker away from allowing 31 in two of your three playoff games with the great Revis.
Right.
And I'm not being dismissive of
Revis. I know what you're saying.
Because I think he was great.
Yeah.
So how much did he really
right.
win the Super Bowl for you?
But then the question is, if you didn't have him, would you have needed 40 points?
I don't know.
No one knows.
Yeah, but I don't know. That's why I said it's impossible to say.
I just know over the course of the season, I think he made a difference.
Of course,
there's no question.
I don't think they would have gotten to the Super Bowl without him.
Well, I don't know that because I think that all the contenders in the AFC fell.
You may not have had home field advantage. Maybe you're playing Baltimore.
But I think they would have because I think all the AFC contenders around them all stumbled and fell around them.
That's true. Yeah. Jason and Indy, let's get to the guts.
I think they
would have
gone 12-4. They go 12-4 every year.
WebRadio at Patriots.com.
Always worked out for them.
Jason from Indiana. Good afternoon,
gentlemen. I picked 12-4 for a reason.
I'm getting so antsy over the Revis situation as everyone else is. I'm still confident something will get done and he will remain a Patriot or not. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, Mr. Kraft. Get this done already, he says in all caps. I'm also wondering still who will get cut or who will restructure deals to stay. I say goodbye to Mayo and Solder. I personally think we can find a guy to fill in like an A.J. Hawk type player who will be on the cheap. I don't know that there is a better player than Solder out there for a replacement, but his money is just too high for the standard of play he gives us on a consistent basis. Still looking ahead at free agent pickups. How about these guys? Todd Herman, who's a guard. He wants to play for a contender, and Connolly is going to get overpaid. I also am all in on Andre Johnson if the price is right. Bernard Pollard, hey, if he is on our team, he isn't taking our guys out, right?
Well, unless he does it in August.
Yeah, right. Plus, Tabucky Jones used to take out plenty of our guys, remember?
Lastly, Fred, you answered my Patriots Mount Rushmore question with exactly my answers. Brady, Belichick, Hannah, Tippett. Should I be worried?
Yes.
I think those are the four, I mean, pretty obvious ones.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you can get around it as much as it pains me to have a guard on my Mount Rushmore.
Let's see.
Paul only has two spots on his Mount Rushmore.
Lock from Canberra.
What about that coach? It's the only ones that matter.
Canberra.
Wait a minute. Wait, let's delve into that email a second. Cutting Nate Solder? You comfortable with that?
No.
Give me your long-term deal for Nate Solder that you'd be comfortable with, because I'm kind of curious on this. It's $7.5 million, right?
And that's what he's going to average.
Yeah, well, you have to operate under the premise that that's what he's going to – that's the only
but
thing
he's
going to accept, right?
I mean – tackles get $7 to $8 million a year on long term. Now throw out
so
Tyron
how much,
Smith.
So
Tyron
how much
Smith
can you lower that cap number?
Well, it depends how much you backload it. Right?
That's what I'm saying.
If you give him a $20 million signing bonus over a 5-year deal, your dead money's only $4 million. His salary is gonna be $800,000-$900,000. You could shave $2.5-3 million off that. Now, you're going to have to backload it. He's going to have some $12 million a year.
At some point, you're going to have to make a decision.
I think he'd be completely foolish to accept a deal like that, but he might.
I don't know if he's completely foolish.
He might just take
it. Because he's in a place where they think he's the best left tackle in football, and I'm not sure there's any 31 other cities that will spew that to him. He's good. He's not great. But the problem I have is he's in line kind of for what he should be paid. He's a second tier, $7 million, down a little bit. The problem is we're paying Marcus Cannon to be a starting lineman.
Yeah, I know. That's troublesome.
He doesn't start
unless
they're trading Vollmer.
Yeah.
Which now I really don't get because I think he's the best of your linemen. You're going to trade the best one, even though his number is 8 and change based on last year's what he reached.
Do you help me with that?
What?
That sold the whole.
Yeah, but the problem is if we trade Vollmer to get rid of that $8 million, now the budget is better because Cannon is now a starter.
Is worse.
But now the line is worse.
Yeah.
Unless you believe Cannon can only play right tackle, which he did pretty well 2 years ago.
Passably.
Right.
Yeah.
He wasn't the disaster he was at guard.
Yeah, and he wasn't any worse than
though.
Nate Solder is at left tackle.
And then you move Vollmer over?
I just traded Vollmer.
Oh.
No,
Vollmer?
Despite what Ben Volen says, Vollmer not moving to left guard.
He's on the Chiefs. I'm just assuming you traded him to Indy Reid.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I traded it. You got to keep up now.
Locke writes in, firstly, Eric was indeed correct in his pronunciation of
Canberra.
Canberra last week. Secondly, thank you to Andy for thinking I was female, though. How can you ascertain someone's gender from their initials only exists in Andy's mind? And I go by LT to remain slightly anonymous in writing into
thanks, guys.
In writing into a football show, but I guess that's all gone now, so I should embrace it.
Who knows? You're from Australia. You're from Adelaide. Nobody. You're fine.
On to football and the free agent
whatever
market. We're big in Australia.
We actually are. I believe it's our third biggest. America, Great Britain, and then I think...
I see a lot of bargain buy opportunities for the Patriots. I'll throw out some names, and you answer yes or no as to whether you would be interested. Reggie Bush.
Yes.
Yes.
C.J.
Yes.
Spiller.
Yes.
Mark Ingram.
Yes.
No.
No.
Ahmad Bradshaw.
Yes.
No.
Steven Jackson.
Yes.
No.
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 Yes on Bradshaw.
I used to be.
Yes on Bradshaw. No on Jackson.
Yeah. Brian Hartline.
No.
Yes. I'd be in on him.
Yeah.
Eddie Royal.
No.
No. No.
And O.C. Umanura.
Probably not.
Not at this point.
I disagree with Andy on Hartline because another outside receiver that I think that you could get something out of.
And he's hurt the Patriots a little bit.
Oh
so
God, Andy has an unbelievable fascination with that.
With the female Matt Damon.
With attractive young blondes with large breasts. I mean, so outside the box.
I don't think she's anywhere near as attractive as you do. Let's put it that way.
I like her dimples and her double Ds.
I think she's missing one of the Ds in that double.
Oh, no.
Oh, I don't know.
You got a bad angle then.
Nick and Victoria.
In single Ds, not enough.
I don't think they're that big is my point. I didn't realize I had to spell it out.
They're very big.
Nick and Victoria, I can remember standing in the stands of Quest Field watching Nate Ebner and Devon Wilson getting torched for a game-winning bomb and not being one bit surprised. Frankly, me and my fellow Patriots fans stood there and called it. Fast forward to 2014 and all of those old secondary fears being erased by our new dominant secondary. But now the fear is back. We lose Revis and McCourty, and we are back to 2012 and watching our D never leaving the field on third down. Talk me off the ledge, Fred, because I see Revis and McCourty going to test the free agent market.
That's true. Remember when we used to say, like, when the other team was, like, third and 18? And they would get it, like, seemed like three out of four times, well, third and long, the other team got it.
My question would be, what were you thinking in the Super Bowl when – they were giving up long passes, you know, every other play.
Right.
I mean.
Yeah, but it wasn't Revis. It wasn't Brown.
No, and it wasn't Tavon Wilson and Nate Ebner. It was Devin McCourty was the deep safety who everybody is up in arms about, right?
Bad matchup.
I just don't think he's a $9.6 million player. I don't. And I think Andy's right. I think that's what the market's going to bear.
Oh, there's no doubt he is going to get big money on the open market. It's going to happen.
Adam from Dublin, quick one here. If the Patriots allow Revis to leave, what do you think the logic will be from their point of view? I think they will look at it that they paid him a lower salary for one season, got a Super Bowl title from it, which sounds like an old-fashioned Patriots philosophy. Robert Kraft always talks about
the
dangers.
She's ugly, but those are twice the size of his Barbie doll.
Robert Kraft always talks about the dangers of locking a lot of money into a player when they could be injured, so it won't surprise me if he goes. I did think that from Bill's point of view, that working with Revis for 1 year would convince the coach to keep him, but the GM rarely strays from his principles. Anyway, nothing has been signed yet. Nobody has walked either, so forgive me for not panicking right now.
I think, Bill, if Revis wants to come back, Bill will sign him. I just don't think this is an example where you're going to say they're going to cheap out. Now, if somebody does something stupid, if he signs for, you know, $20 million a year or really just blows the top off the market, okay, but if he signs a market-level deal, I think Bill would sign it.
All right. Let's go to the phones. Noel's in Denver. Hey, Noel.
Hey, guys. Good morning to you.
What's up?
How are you?
Good. Tremendous.
Hey, I wanted to.
Hungry.
Next time that young lady calls, the one that had the problem with the truck parked outside, Anna or Pat or whatever.
Yeah, Anna.
Have her go to Blake Street Tavern here in Denver. It's a lot closer than Colorado Springs.
Oh, yes, Anna. Blake Street Tavern. They'll welcome you. Open arms, yeah. Patriots fans.
Yeah, great place every Sunday. Really fun.
What? They got good wings?
What's that?
Good wings?
I don't eat a lot of wings, so I'm the wrong guy to ask that question. The food was good when it first opened, but like everything else, they let it go downhill a bit.
Okay, you're not doing a great job.
Right. Sounds like you need to find a new place.
Nah, you know, but it's a great group of people that show up all the time, and, you know, a lot of people don't care what they eat, right?
You could all move to a different place.
I do. If I'm out watching a football game in a bar, I do care what I eat.
Of course.
That's part of the whole experience.
Yeah.
Good food, good beer.
Good people.
Yeah.
I only go a couple of times a year because I got DirecTV, the football package in here. So I only go down a couple of times a year, but there's a lot of good, fun people there.
Okay.
All right.
For sure. And mediocre wings.
I have a couple of questions for you guys, and I'm still jacked about the Super Bowl, but don't you think that Revis, if we could sign him for 5 years at about $14 million with a $40 million...
He's not going to get 14. He's not going to accept 14 million.
That's too
million.
Low.
He's worth as much to us on the defense as Gronk is on the offense.
He's not going to take 14 million a year.
That's way low.
That's a low. Well, I mean, the 40 million is not low.
No,
he gets $40 million guaranteed, and a lot of people have posed that. You know, and this is maybe this is the new en vogue thing.
Right.
Russell Wilson's going to get fully guaranteed contract, and if you went to Revis and just said $50 million 4 years, which in your head you go, oh, that's only $12.5 million, and then you say fully guaranteed. I don't know what he would say.
Right.
You know, that if you want to go crazy with the guarantees.
I just think that this is a guy who has been used to fully guaranteed contracts that are worth more than that. So,
well,
I'm with Fred.
But he was going on 1 year deals in Tampa.
No, I know. But
he got every penny.
But for him, see.
But on a 1 year deal. It was a 1 year $16 million deal.
But for him, the way I look at it is like this 2 year contract that he just signed, a lot of people have opined that he took less to come to the Patriots because he only got $12 million last year. He looked at it as a $32 million contract because
right.
He said, either the Patriots are going to give me that $20 million bonus and I'm going to get it, or I'm going to become a free agent and I'm going to get it.
Right. Right.
So he doesn't care if he becomes a free agent.
This is one of the I've never seen a player under contract with more leverage than Revis is right now. It's unbelievable.
And I've never seen a guy under contract or not under contract consistently get exactly what he wants every time.
Yeah. Because he's that damn good.
I've never seen a guy be able to do – he games the system unlike anybody.
Yeah.
That's why I think that might
but
be a little low.
But it starts with, like Andy said, he's that good. He can do it.
And, like, what was the Mike Reese proposal for him was something like 5 for $80 million.
$80 million
with
42,
I think guaranteed. And he had guaranteed salaries the first 3 years. I think it was a $16 million signing bonus. So it was basically $22 million in year one,
right,
which tops what he would have gotten had he gotten the 2 year 32. Do you understand?
Right,
like, this is
right.
What I'm saying. Like, people look like he took less. He didn't take less. He got less last year than he would have.
Right.
But he's going to get more, I think.
Yeah.
Unless he really throws us all a curveball and takes something less than what he could get on the open market to stay here. Like, significantly less. I don't mean like, a million or two here or there. I'm talking about, what did you say was a silly contract someone could offer him? You know, someone blows him out of the water.
Oh, like $20 million. You know, somebody
says, and he says, "I'd rather be here for 15
three
million
years, year. $75 million, $25 million a year, something stupid."
Right.
Now,
and he says, "I'm going to stay with the Patriots for 3 years and $45 million."
Right, but
that to me is a significant.
But
concession.
It also matters what the like, because Reese's contract was not. It was like the last three were fluffy contracts.
Right.
Years.
There was an option due after the third season.
So that's the other
to kick in those last 2 years. But the first 3 years
real
were
money.
Fully guaranteed.
No, I know.
And
it seems like that's the trend where we're going to go towards more guarantees.
And as Fred pointed out in reading all of that, he had someone, and I put some stock into this because Mike is so detail-oriented. He had someone look at his proposal in the league that, as he deemed him, didn't really have a horse in the race. You know, wasn't anybody that would necessarily be biased, who felt like that was low. That proposal was low. So
yeah.
I think I do think the Patriots are going to re-sign him. I think what Andy says is exactly right. They recognize this guy is different, and they're going to be different about these negotiations,
right,
and they're going to re-sign him. But it ain't going to be cheap.
No. Brecken from Rhode Island. Think about this, he says. One, Jason McCourty says that he wants to recruit Devin to Tennessee. Two, Gostkowski gets tagged. Three, former Tennessee safety Bernard Pollard gets released. And four, D-Mac's last season with New England, he asks.
The funniest part of that, though, was Jason acting like he was going to start at 4 o'clock. Like, he'd never mentioned before him coming to play for Tennessee.
Seriously.
Come on now. You're adhering to, like,
right.
And by the way, you're... I don't know the answer to this. Can players tamper?
You know, that is a good... We asked it at the time. Are they under that rule, you know?
And I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
Like, Tom Brady. If Tom Brady called Demaryius Thomas, like somebody.
Or just said it in a press conference.
Or just said it sometime.
No, but I'm even like, say he actually called and said, I would love to play with just you know, we're,
make it happen.
We might be interested.
Yeah.
Like, that's tampering. Because he knows what's going on or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't know how that exactly works.
Because he's not a decision maker.
Right. He doesn't work for the organization as a decision maker. Yeah. He doesn't have any. He tells us a million times he doesn't make those decisions.
Exactly.
Whether you believe him or not is up to you. But
they need to. They need to just eliminate that whole thing. Like, well, it's like anything else. Now all of a sudden the NFL decides like we have a 3-day legal tampering window.
Right.
Like.
It's so foolish.
And now they're talking about pushing
the
combine
nonsense
because they want the combine to serve as a more
when it's on
tampering.
Their terms,
right?
It's just like scalping. You know, when it's on our terms, it's okay.
Or gambling that they've avoided forever.
Fantasy
but they're,
football
they're tiptoeing
is okay.
towards more and more gambling.
Because
you know why? Cha-ching.
Just be out above board with these kinds of things, and I think people will understand what you're doing. It's all on the up and up.
Actually, it isn't. But it never was.
No, I think that because they're behind this shroud of, you know, morality, I think it's not on the up and up.
Scott says, he titles his email, "Be careful, bitches." Okay. The reason the Patriots' offense was successful against Seattle was because the receivers were quick. Now you're telling me that Vereen and Amendola are gone. Now I know that Edelman will never get hurt, so we should be fine in a rematch, right?
First of all, I haven't said Vereen is definitely gone.
And it's not just about Seattle. You know, we're not trying to build a team just for one, you know, one team. But anyway.
All right. We're going to take a break. Food's here. We're all starving. When we come back, a lot more emails, phone calls. It's never-ending talk this time of the season.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's own ticket agency. We live and work here, and just like you, we are passionate Boston sports fans. We love live events, and most of all, we love our customers. And in return, our customers have given us the highest customer service rating of any ticket agency in America. Wow. Thanks to all employees of Ace, and thank you to all our customers for rating us number one. When you need tickets, come experience the Ace difference. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
The new $5 New England Patriots instant scratch ticket from the Mass State Lottery features over $46 million in prizes. Win up to $250,000 instantly. And there are also second chance opportunities to win exclusive Patriots game day experiences, including away game trips to Miami for 10 years. It's the new $5 New England Patriots instant ticket from the Mass State Lottery. For more, visit masslottery.com. Must be 18 years or older to play. Please play responsibly.
A lot of people talk about giving their best. They talk about leaving it all on the field. But how do you know if it's enough? The simple fact is, you don't. But that's why you keep going. Keep working. Keep doing your job. And in the end, your results will show exactly how much you gave. Putnam is proud to partner with those who share their own commitment to performance excellence. This is Matt Light for Putnam Investments, a world of investing.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today. Heard of Growing Up Gronk, but now comes the tell-all book of the Perillo family.
We were going to go drink. I might not have any use the rest of the day.
From the storied authors of Northeastern Football, An Extinct Dynasty, and The Best Places to Drink Diet Pepsi in Everett, comes Growing Up Perillo.
All I can tell you is if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him, pounding the shit out of him.
Okay, and he just swore.
Be there through Northeastern Husky glory.
It was a very big night in Northeastern sports. I won't go into the details because I won't bore you. 1982, my father was at the Garden for the hockey championships that Northeastern won, and I'm home watching them play in the first round of the NCAA basketball, which they won. And my brother got out.
Paul, you cover the basketball. We'll take the hockey.
No, my brother went out and got arrested that night. So my mother had to do all of the stuff. She had to go down and get him, and they had to get the car from a tow lot. My mother was unbelievably incensed. So I know I got about 30 seconds to celebrate with my father when he comes home before all hell's going to break loose. So I come running out of my
little
room.
Little angel. Right.
And I'm jumping up and down, high-fiving right. My father. And I go, all right, got to go. And I ran back in the room.
Rich.
And all you heard was, it was like Joe Pesci, and just once I wanted to be big. Pow! Bing, oh, wow. Boom!
You've disgraced the Perillo family, not to mention the whole Husky community.
Treasured father-son time.
My brother was going back and forth with my father, and it was one of those, you know, open your mouth one more time, and I'm going to let you have it. My brother was actually in the shower, and he didn't think my father could see him, and he just opened his mouth. My father laid him out through the shower curtain. One shot, right in the jaw, went down. As my brother tells the story, I'm lying nude in the jaw. Classic.
And other fond memories of the Perillo boys.
You know, my grandmother used to live with us when we, you know, when right. She was still alive. She used to, all of a sudden, she'd have these attacks of conscience. She'd be like the old Italian grandmother, and, you know, I had to be all worried. And my brother was in trouble for something. My father was all over him, and he hit him. And she got all nervous, and she calls up Aunt Camilla. You know Aunt Camilla, right, from sure. Famous stories. They're sisters. So she calls up. She goes, oh, Allie's beating the living out of him, but I'll tell you, he deserved it, though.
Growing Up Perillo, flying off bookshelves everywhere. Order yours now by calling 855-PATS-500 or placing your order via email to webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to PFW in progress.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio@patriots.com is the
Freddie.
Email address.
Aunt Camilla.
Yeah.
93.
God bless.
93.
Yep. It's still kicking. Still kicking. Making meatballs?
I don't know how many meatballs she's making. No. I was talking to one of her grandsons last week at the Bean Pot.
Yeah.
And
She's 93. Let's put it that way. She's 93.
All right.
She's had a good run.
She's a 30-year-old running back.
All right.
Did you get meatballs?
No, it's a chicken.
Did you order
cutlet?
That?
No, I ordered penne and meatballs.
That's what I ordered, too.
Just to reset.
Did you get meatballs?
No, I didn't order that, but I ordered
for
meatballs
me.
For you. Yeah.
A couple just side notes. Robert Kraft in Washington today for the Netanyahu speech before Congress.
He's a good friend of his.
Is he?
Yeah.
And Bill Belichick and Nick Caserio at Auburn's Pro Day. Bill wearing the same shirt he always wears when we see him wearing a shirt.
It's a blue fishing shirt.
No, it's like...
Oh, we're going to do the dress thing now? It's not blue?
I still don't really understand what happened there.
We're not going to get into
that. Because I don't really understand what happened.
Yeah. It's the dress that people can't decide what color it is.
There was a picture of a dress that started circulating, and I guess it was blue and black, but the way the picture was taken, it looked white and gold.
It never looked white and gold to me. It only looked blue and black.
Well, there were several pictures then that were being distributed.
But is
Some
it
of them
a
clearly...
visual thing, or
it's
was it multiple
thing.
Pictures?
No, it's a visual thing, but also different people see it differently. I saw it as gold and white.
I did, too.
Well, but see, I saw both.
You two saw it the same? I'm not buying it.
But Fred and I are always on board. Always
I saw
together.
Both. I saw pictures when it looked white and gold, and I saw pictures when it looked black.
But you're the same person, so how can it look different?
No, I saw,
that's why
I saw
thought
different
it was
pictures.
Well, then that's not fair.
Right.
One picture looks clearly white and gold. Another clearly looks black and blue.
Okay. Anyway,
It was it got way too much attention.
It did. I didn't understand it, and I didn't like. I felt like that person who had gotten too old. Suddenly, I didn't.
Right,
well,
I'm not in on the joke. But,
right, what's going on?
it just got out of hand.
Yeah, everyone had a chip in with an opinion on that one. All right, let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Justin's in Virginia. Hey, Justin.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Glad to see y'all back, and glad to see Eric not there, but. My take on the
what are you talking about?
I knew he was going to get mad.
I didn't know you were there, man. I'm sorry.
Are you not listening to the program?
I didn't know, though. I didn't know.
How do you not know if you're... Are you not listening?
No, he is listening.
Are you
didn't
listening?
Sing. Oh, nice, Justin!
Oh, my God.
Don't take his crap, Justin. You come.
Such an
you
idiot.
But my take on the free agents is I'm kind of riding on Paul. I don't think Shane Vereen's going to be back. He obviously was impactful this year. He had impactful games like the Jets one and the Panthers one last year. But we know he struggled with injury, and during this year, he struggled with drops a lot. I know Andy has brought up how he hasn't quite lived up to the Marshall Faulk resume. I think he's
quite?
Gone. I really do.
Yeah, the obvious answer is he's gone. Every sign points to he's gone. The problem is, what does that leave you with? That's the only thing I question. Because, yeah, there's no doubt – that they let running backs go. He's coming at the highest point of his career, being healthy for a full season and producing in a Super Bowl. But what are you left with, and what do you replace him with, and the cost?
I'm not really afraid to tiptoe through a season without a real proven third down back. I mean, this may be oversimplistic, but I think Bill drafted James White to be the successor for Shane Vereen. He's not proven himself. He didn't really have a good first year, obviously, but I think he's going to try him out, and I think he's probably going to bring in another guy to compete with him. But as for Devin McCourty, I think Devin McCourty's going to go because I just think we're going to re-sign Revis, and that's going to be what we're doing. I'm perfectly happy with that. All I want is Revis, bro. The only person I really want is Revis. All right.
I'm with you.
It's so funny that I think this way, but it's like now that the Jets have expressed such strong opinions of wanting Revis that we sign him just to spite them. No matter what it takes.
Oh,
keep
boy.
Him away from the Jets.
I don't care what the reasoning is, as long as Revis stays in a Patriots uniform.
GT is the person who got us lunch today.
Thanks, GT.
He couldn't call in, but he says, hope you enjoy your Super Bowl victory lunch. And he has a question. Who do you think will be more deserving of the Patriots Hall of Fame, Wes Welker or Julian Edel?
Men. There's an end to that name. Edel.
I mean, at this point, it would be Welker, but Edelman's career is ongoing.
Right.
If Edelman does what Welker
technically
did.
Technically, so is Welker's.
No, I'm talking about
not New England,
the Patriots. If Edelman does what Welker did and does it 5-6 years in a row, then they will probably be even.
And then he'll get the Super Bowl bump.
I think even if Edelman doesn't have 1,000-yard seasons like Welker, if he has 800 or 900 yards and does it another 4 or 5 years, he goes in because of the Super Bowl.
Well, for them, it's as much catches as anything else.
Yeah, I mean, and plus Welker.
If he's Brady's leading receiver for another 3 years after this one, so then you say, wow, he had a 5-year stretch where he was Brady's leading receiver.
Now,
he also gets a bump because he makes some really nice specialty.
Fred, I'm interested because you generally are very tight with your admittance to Halls of Fame. Is Welker a Patriots Hall of Famer?
No.
I agree.
Really?
I wouldn't put either one of them in the Hall of Fame.
Nope. I certainly wouldn't put Edelman.
Nope.
Edelman has
not today.
It. No.
But like Fred, or when you said if he continues to do it, then
They both are.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Why?
I just have a high standard. You know.
I mean, but he reached a high standard. He was an All-Pro Pro Bowl receiver with 100 catches in 5 years, whatever.
I don't know.
5 out of 6 years, I think he caught 100.
And the only one he didn't was because he was coming off an ACL.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Patriots have had some good receivers in the past. Stanley Morgan was pretty good.
Oh, he's in the Hall of Fame.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
Irving Fryer was pretty good when he wanted to play.
Yeah, he's not in the Hall of Fame for different reasons.
Yeah. But I don't know. I just
came to a fork in his career. Oh!
Yeah, I mean, if he had been a Patriot all his career, absolutely shoo-in.
Oh, you mean if he had done that for 12 years?
No. I'm not saying that. Like, he had 5 or 6 great years, and the rest of his years were good. And he was a Patriot, then, yeah, a guy like that. And I'm talking about no Super Bowls. A guy like that gets in. But
The Super Bowl is the big thing for you? Like, Edelman goes higher than Welker because they won the Super Bowl and Welker lost the two that he was in?
I think right now neither get in. But if Edelman stays, for another 5 years and is productive, I think, he probably gets in.
The Welker one is done. Like, the whatever you're going to present as the pro or the con is done.
Right.
Edelman's the unknown.
Yeah, I don't think Welker gets in, period.
He should.
You think he should? Okay.
Yes.
Well, he will.
He's like...
But I kind of am with you.
I know Paul hates catches,
but... I don't hate them.
He ranks like... Do you know the number by any chance? Not Patriots. He's like 12th in NFL history. Like, he's far higher on total catches all time than I ever thought he was at this point. He's legit
12th.
It might not be 12.
To say that I hate it is, 20, that's pretty is strong.
Strippers, tell me where Wes Welker ranks in career catches.
I'm just not overly enamored.
You hate catches. It's okay.
Yeah, it's not. But that's not
anybody
accurate.
Can catch
it's
it. You say. You say anybody can catch it.
Let him.
I don't
talk
feel
for
like
sake.
A reception is something that needs to be celebrated like it is. I just don't feel. I mean, I don't.
It's
think
funny we, when he didn't catch it, everybody just
we
hammered
we
him.
We don't celebrate carries for running backs the way we celebrate receptions for receivers, and I just don't feel like
the ball is in the air and you have to catch it.
I don't think there's that much difference.
A reception automatically equals pretty much an advancement of the ball. A carry could be, 1 yard.
But I think that
not everybody can catch a ball. Anybody can hold their arm up and you have it pushed into their stomach.
I understand it's easier to receive a handoff than catch a pass.
Sounds like you make them the same.
I don't think it's that big of a
difference.
And
one of them takes place
that's all I'm saying.
Where you have to beat somebody to get the ball, theoretically. The handoff, the only person you have to beat to the ball is yourself.
I get it. I just don't feel like it's as special as other people do. Yards?
Well, no one said it was
yards
special.
Yards per catch, touchdowns, things like that. Absolutely.
Like
and Welker was good at all of those things. I'm not saying that he wasn't. And Edelman is right now good at all of those things. So I'm not dismissing the players. I think that those
loose
guys
change?
Are good. The fact that he has 120 catches doesn't excite me the way it does most other people. Like you did, would you say
12? Easy with that number.
Yeah, see, I don't know. I don't want to get into a big Hall
no,
of
we
Fame
don't.
Talk.
We don't need to do that. We don't need to do that. Fred doesn't like Hall of Fame.
And he doesn't like going with emails.
I do like, but right now there's so many emails coming
like
in about free agents.
We're not allowed to talk about MVP. We're not allowed to talk about that.
I never said
you don't
that.
Like
since,
that stuff.
Since Devin McCourty's career as a Patriot is over, is he a Patriots Hall of Fame?
Oh, hell no. Oh, come on. Even you're laughing.
What? I don't think it's ridiculous to ask if he's a Hall of Famer. He had a 5-year stretch where he was a Pro Bowl corner and a Pro Bowl
what do
safety.
You think?
No.
Of course not.
But you've been telling me for 5 years how good he is.
That's no. As a safety, he's a good safety, but he's not a Hall of Famer, team or otherwise.
I agree.
So let's cool your jets.
I'm surprised
let's
you didn't
pump
get mad
the brakes
when I said
as they say on
EEI
and 98.5.
They both say that a lot?
Yeah, they say pump the brakes.
Everybody
right?
says that a lot.
I know. We got in trouble for it one
Throw
time.
Under the bus, pump the brakes. Those are, you know.
A lot of driving.
Societal talk. Crutches.
A lot of driving.
Societal crutches.
Louis B. from Florida says, do you think the Patriots could consider cutting Revis and going after a guy like Sue? Would they have the cap space for that? And would you be interested in Sue? He's a different position, but could possibly have as much of an impact on defense and is also younger.
You can argue that. You can certainly argue that. I don't think
I don't like it.
He's going to get $100 million. He is a young, prime of his career, dominant defensive player. People assume that he's going to be the highest paid defensive player in the history of the game. He's going to get $100 million.
Wow.
He's going to get $50 million guaranteed.
Oh,
he's going.
I would hate that.
That makes me
pay sick.
Him more than
that would
Watt?
Make me sick.
I wouldn't, right? Don't you think Watt's
I wouldn't. Yeah. I don't really like Sue.
I don't either.
It's but it,
I like him.
But Fred, those things, you know how those things work. It's when you
I
come
know.
Due. If right. Watt was on the open
it's
market right now, he would get more than Sue.
It's leapfrog,
right.
yeah.
And Watt didn't go to free agency.
Correct.
Right.
Sue's going to free agency.
Do you know who the other highest paid defensive player is currently? Out of curiosity, Watt is one of the two that is generally considered the highest paid defensive player.
Mario right. Williams?
Mario Williams is the other.
Oh.
Wow.
They make somewhere in the neighborhood of $16 million
right.
annually.
And they're both $100 million deals.
Right.
And that's what Sue is going to get. And I don't think, with or without Revis on the books, because I know you can eliminate now that $25 million cap hit, and they're not.
Everyone seems to think Sue's going to Oakland. That's, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that just be, like, the perfect home for him?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
You know, because
he's
so
a
cliche.
Strike. Ooh, he's
it
a
is
dirty player. Just go to Oakland.
But it's you're absolutely right. It is total cliche, but it's everything else, too. It's the dirty player goes to Oakland. Oakland takes the – it's the home for the wayward losers.
Right.
And
they pay a lot.
And I think Sue is the kind of guy that strikes me – I don't know – I've never interviewed him even, so I don't know the guy. But he doesn't strike me as being overly concerned with anything but himself.
Oh, yeah.
And
like,
I
also
think
he cares
about – like, he's a guy that would take the money to go to Oakland because he doesn't care.
Right.
I also think he's cuckoo. In my short dealings with him and then watching some interviews, told you one time he was on like a strength and conditioning reality series that was like a full show, an hour about him, and they followed. I think he might be a little off.
Could be.
But that'd be funny, Oakland. They have the money.
At
now,
some
where's
point,
he from?
Oakland
Does he have any
be...
other cliche ties we can say?
I don't know.
Oh, he's from New Orleans.
But
so
at
maybe
some
the
point, doesn't Oakland have to become relevant again at some point? Like, how long can you be at the bottom?
If you make that
as long as you have a bad owner.
No, not necessarily. Sounds like he is doing what everybody wants owners to do. I don't really know football. I'm making sure. And
I'm hiring people to make football decisions. Right.
Now, he could hire the wrong people.
I just feel like the odds are that at some point he's going to hire someone who does a good job.
And odds are David Carr is going to be good. Like, yeah. You're going to hit on a couple of these things that are going to, and then everything else. Yeah,
sure. I knew
Derek.
The blind squirrel finds a nut every once
in a while. Right, like Brady.
Like Brady.
Yeah, how we got Brady.
Oh. So you're calling the Patriots blind squirrels now?
And they got a big nut.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Mike in South
just
Dakota
like to
writes in.
Poke you a little.
You're not poking me. You're just kind of making me wonder if everything's all right with you.
No, it isn't.
Mike in South Dakota, with McCurdy going to free agency and Revis's looming bonus. Not really a bonus. I can't help wondering if this is a reset year.
It is kind of.
Even
it actually
though the cap,
is a bonus. He's not going to get it. But
even though the cap's not as tight as people are saying, could this be the year the Patriots reset? Release Wilfork, let Revis and McCurdy go to free agency, trade Mayo once deemed healthy. That
are we
could,
the Marlins?
Why do
we win a title and we're just going to blow it up?
I would be really, really disappointed.
That would
that
clear
happens.
Up a ton of cap space and possibly a first-round pick when Revis signs with the Jets.
Would also ensure Felger and Maz have endless material.
Why would it be a first-round pick?
Compensatory picks don't start until the fourth round, I don't think.
After
right?
the third. They're considered third-round picks.
Yeah. But, that's not – you're not going to get a first-rounder.
Oh, wait, are we getting compensation for the tampering? Is that what they said?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. If this
I mean, that would be unprecedented, wouldn't it?
Yes,
would it not?
I believe
don't they
so.
Take the they take a draft pick away from a team that tampers?
They don't give
it to a team.
Right. No,
it should be the team that got tampered on gets the pick. Should be.
I don't think that.
I if you have a problem with it, then you're right. The people that are hurt by it are the
right
the team that were tampered on. If that's the proper.
If this were to occur, what would you do with the money? You still have to get to the minimum spending. I think it's interesting.
I don't want to blow it up.
Yeah, I think when you win a Super Bowl and you have a quarterback who's 38, He'll be 38 in August?
He'll be 38.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he'll be looking to do any kind of redo.
And Robert's already, like, on the record, we want to defend our title, and how better to do it than win Super Bowl 50, and they certainly don't sound like they're going for a fire sale.
No, but I wouldn't expect him to say, we're going for a fire sale, if that's, in fact, what they were wanting to do.
I certainly don't think I would lead with, we're trying to win the Super Bowl and defend our title, if I knew that in a couple weeks we're going to cut every veteran player
we ever had.
The
placeholder comment for Revis.
Shawnee in New Hampshire. quote, he who owns the cap owns the league. Hoodie realizes the only thing that doesn't change is the cap. There is a cap that doesn't change. The number, of course, changes. That's just the way it is, boys. Hoodie knows that it is the most important aspect in the business side, so he learns it, gets it, studies it, hones in on it, and owns it. Sorry to say, I think Mayo, Wilford, Connolly, Ridley, Arrington, gone. Thank you for your services, men. Okay. I don't know why owning the cap means all those guys are gone, but, you know. Now, Arrington is a guy that
bad deals.
Arrington is a guy that we haven't brought up.
Yeah, and I don't understand why people are running him out of town.
Yeah?
Why?
I don't know. I don't. People are.
Because he didn't have a great Super Bowl?
I think people are saying that, you know. But now, like, he's not really hitting. He's not a big impact on the cap anyway.
Four and change.
Yeah.
Four and change.
Not that much.
Yeah.
But, again, that it's a starting caliber position everybody likes to point out in these days. So, to me, it doesn't. I've jumped ship. Early on, I thought it was a bad contract. I think you've reached a point where I'm very comfortable with him in the slot corner role. And as I've said a million times, I'm looking to keep the secondary together. It's why I would have franchised McCourty. It's why I'd be re-signing. The secondary worked. Don't screw it up. Right?
Just to add to that, I think he's coming off the best year he had. I think he was terrific this year.
What have you done for me lately, though?
Did he have a bad Super Bowl? Yeah. I don't think that was necessarily his fault, though. I think that, number one, he was competitively in coverage against the guy that was just flat-out bigger and stronger than he was.
Bad matchup.
I mean,
a wide receiver?
It's okay that, you know, the guy that we went out and signed big money free agent, every time he covers somebody and he tells me it's a bad matchup. But we put our little slot guy on a guy who's 6'5", and we just say he got killed. I don't think he got killed in that game. I think he gave up some big plays.
And people want to hate Arrington. They have for 3 years now. So when they have a specific reason to hate him, they now can point to it.
Yeah, I thought he got overpaid, much like, and it'll probably work out the same way. I think of the Arrington contract a lot like the Marcus Cannon contract. I was like, what? They gave him what?
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you know, couple years later, he's playing at a pretty high level in a specific role that I think is more conducive to him. Maybe that'll happen to Cannon. Maybe all of a sudden the swing tackle will play more than he normally does, and he'll fit right in at right tackle.
Well, you know, the third tackle is often a starting position.
I mean, seriously.
Haynes in Houston writes in, when analyzing the contribution of Revis in this past Super Bowl run, I think it's important to remember that the games were shaped by competition. If Green Bay had outlasted Seattle in the NFC Championship game, and Revis had locked down Jordy Nelson instead of Doug Baldwin for the Patriots to win the Super Bowl, the narrative about 24's value would be very different.
If he locked down Jordy Nelson, they might have beat him in the regular season.
Yeah. I mean,
let's see.
But I don't think anybody's looking at Darrell Revis in the Super Bowl as having struggled in any.
No, I thought he had a very good game.
Yeah.
Did he give up any catches?
Just because it was Doug Baldwin, I don't think takes away anything from Darrell Revis. He didn't give up any catches.
Other than getting picked by the official, right. Which the funniest part of that play
I'm a beast.
When Revis gets hit, the ball has not been thrown yet. The guy's still running, and he's turning back complaining. Like, he knew it was going to be a touchdown, so I might as well start complaining now.
Yeah.
And that was that funny,
is,
too.
That is what
How'd
happened.
How'd you get open? I'm
but
a beast. That's
to
true.
To me, though.
Really? You ran by the ref. He set up
I know that doesn't look good. You know, on Revis's part, but he's so intelligent, he just knows. I mean, there's no sense in even trying here because I'm done.
Right.
You know?
Well, I mean, that makes you intelligent.
Yeah, he knows.
So, wait. Just, I'm not going to pick on you on this, but you're advocating quitting on the play because you know you got beat.
No.
Like, what happens if, you know, and I think Baldwin even tripped on that play for some unknown reason.
Well, that was at the end.
So,
yeah.
So let's just say, for argument's sake, let's play it all the way out.
He didn't
quit, and as he tripped, the ball hit his shoulder pad and bounced in the air. But your guy quit because he was so intelligent that he couldn't make the pick.
But Revis knows the fine line between making a play and not, and he knows when I just can't make it.
No, I know that he knew that.
Kind of flies in the face of never give up and play
right,
to the
whistle. I think that just
that knowing that what happened on the play, yeah. I think that's accurate. But advocating the fact that not he said, that, okay,
I
that's enough.
I think it's not that all but, that different but, than grabbing his hamstring on the Moss play. When I get beat, there's a reason for it.
We saw that in training camp a lot. He would just kind of give up on a play.
Yeah, and it's not good.
Yeah, yeah, I wouldn't exactly put
so
that
now
as
you
one
don't
of
want
his.
Him?
No, but
did
I
did I ever say that?
But I wouldn't,
don't be like me.
I want him. I want him. But one of the reasons I want him isn't because he's intelligent enough to quit on a play.
Right. You know what I mean.
That's not like an. That's not a point of check.
To be fair, I have always asked for years for I want a pass rusher like Moss, a guy who'll take plays off because he's so good he can take plays off.
Yeah, but
yes, I'd rather have J.J. Watt, who never takes anything off.
The second that happened, Revis knew, I'm out of this play.
I agree with you on
that. The play wasn't over.
I agree with you on that. It's the rest of it that you say he's so intelligent, he just stopped.
Yeah, like to Paul's point, what if there was a play like the curse play down the sideline when it bounces all around and he ends up catching? What if that happened right. when he tripped?
Oh, he could have gone 100 yards for
Revis
a touchdown.
Would have been 15 yards away looking at the umpire for setting
you
a pick on him.
To the whistle.
By the
way, that's what you're
what if the Patriots had as a team had used that theory? They would have just let the Seahawks score and lost the Super Bowl.
Revis is
because it was over.
Guy. Revis is his own guy.
I know he's his own guy. That's why I love greatness. I've said that many times. I like elite athletes
Andy?
And great physical competitors.
Who?
Not to the idiotic point that he does, that catches don't matter in the league. You catch 600 balls.
Who's he?
Will you
who's
shut
he?
Up,
Paul? I'm pointing to Paul. Sorry, you're right.
But who on this?
I shouldn't shrug and point.
But who out of the four of us is more enamored with just the physical talent than me?
Kind of me.
Come on.
I start with biceps and
no, I'm not talking
Bo Jackson.
I'm not talking about wanting to date the players like you do.
I don't date anybody.
Gronk. Okay,
he's
I'm talking
it.
About. I want the most talented guy.
Don't
I want
got
to take
a girlfriend.
You know, the whole right 53 yeah. is not.
Paul doesn't like the hard worker.
Scrappy overachievers
the guy
are fine.
That, the guy that makes it on hustle
and yet he
love
just,
desire.
He just criticized
he
Revis
like
for
that.
Giving up.
Right.
No, well,
that's typical Paul right there.
I didn't criticize Revis for giving up. I criticized Fred for saying he's so intelligent that he gave up. There's a difference.
Well, you know, sometimes you know, guys. Never mind. I'm not going to get into it.
But anyway,
so Ben Watson.
I'm enamored with it. Ben Watson's a perfect example of a guy that I was completely enamored with until I realized, you know what, this guy just flat out can't catch.
KK.
He's not talent. Like everybody says, he has the talent. He's a waste. No, he didn't have the ability to catch the ball, so he didn't have the talent. There's a guy for you. If receptions were not overrated for Ben Watson, Andy, to your point. That's a point in your favor because he could not make the reception.
Proving that it's not just easy to do. Fred, did you see the Krispy Kreme that had the Krispy Kreme Club?
No.
the KKK Club.
Oh,
they
really?
Yes.
No, they did not.
Had a whole Facebook promotion.
Oh, my God.
No.
They had to issue an apology. To which I say is maybe it's good that we've moved on to a point where KKK doesn't exist, but
you, get KKK
you still need to be aware.
And the milk's from Hood. Gamers Take writes in, hey guys, wanted to get your thoughts on Charles Tillman filling the third corner
Peanut.
Spot and also Darnell Dockett as a backup to Jones or Ninkovich.
I have always loved Darnell Dockett. I think he's one of those defensive linemen that's a little bit off and could kill you. And could, like if you needed a car picked up off a baby, or he's him. Mannequins.
Again, he doesn't love these
I
guys.
Know, right?
If you needed a car to be picked up off a baby,
like
where does that come up?
I think he's a Mankins, a defensive line Mankins, just a tough SOB. But, I mean, I think he's already visiting the Niners, and he's probably a little high. Although, if Wilfork is out, some people have said, well, can you go get Sue? No, you can't go get Sue. But you could go get a Dockett.
Right.
If you're filling a
they need an interior guy.
Right.
You know.
And he's a athletic, penetrating, but big. Like, he has the whole pack. I love him.
I like Dockett, too.
Dan of Virginia
he's
says,
hurt though, right?
By the way.
ACL? Coming off ACL or he's coming off an injury.
I don't know that. I'm not
no,
sure.
I'm 99% okay. sure he's coming off an injury.
Tillman is he's also coming off injury. Is, right.
And also another email that's calling, you know, we need to fill the third corner slot. We might not have a opening at third corner.
Yeah, I mean, you might be right. I mean,
right? That's the implication.
Was there anything about Revis in that email?
Nope.
So they're not assuming that
no,
we
they're
lost
filling
Regis.
In for Arrington. They want Arrington gone.
Dan of Virginia, by the way, have they cut new coach Ray Ventrone yet so they can hire him back on Thursday?
Good.
Oh,
we didn't say that. Bubba's
good.
Back.
We haven't mentioned that.
That's awesome.
I gotta get
I was thinking about, like, you know, they might think of everything. They really might. Because Scott O'Brien retires, but still is with the team. Then they bring in Ray Ventrone, who could probably use someone to call every once in a while when he has a question. So who would be better than Scott O'Brien to do that? You know, they might think of everything.
Well,
I don't know what
What Scott O'Brien's going to do with the team, but if Ray Ventrone has a question as the assistant special teams coach, couldn't he just go to the special teams coach, Joe Judge, and probably get an answer?
The special teams coach is a new guy, too, Joe Judge.
He's not new.
He's young. But wouldn't you rather have somebody like Scott O'Brien tutoring Ray Ventrone? Joe Judge is going to have enough to do without having to take some young guy under his wing and teach him every day.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, I don't really understand.
I don't either.
I mean, we praise them for a lot, and I think that's fine. I don't know what you're talking about.
I have no idea what Scott O'Brien's role is going to be. So, Fred, you may have nailed it. I have no idea why Scott O'Brien is, quote, still with the organization, yeah, but is retired.
I don't either. But when I heard about Ventrone coming in, I was thinking, oh, that would be something he could do. Help Ventrone.
But wait, if he just flat out retired, you don't think Ray Ventrone could call him and say, Scott, I got to go? Like, wouldn't there be a working relationship?
No, but now that's part of his agreement.
So we think so much that we pay a guy X amount of dollars.
I think that's a good thing.
Is he a consultant? Are we paying him?
I have no idea.
Are we paying him?
I don't know.
But why are we worried about our guys that are on staff?
Oh, for God's sake.
No, but like, you're making it out to be this great thing. Like, I hired Ray Ventrone to do a job. I hope he can do it.
Which he's never done before.
By the way, when did he retire? When was the last time he played?
I don't know.
He played this past year.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
For San Francisco.
But why am I going to assume that he can't do the job that we're hiring him for?
He's never done it. He
okay,
needs to learn.
Obviously, I
have hope with him.
But here's where I'm going to fall on the...
with him. He's shown me that he's intelligent. I think he's got a future. But everybody needs help.
But I'm going to fall on the Jerry Thornton side here. I'm going to assume that Bill Belichick knows these things.
Right.
When he makes a hire.
The assistant?
Right.
But special teams coach. I'm going to assume that
Bill,
he thinks that he can handle it.
I can't believe
Bill also knows what he wants done.
Yes.
So if he's going to ask anybody, he can ask Joe Judge. He can ask Bill Belichick.
And Scott O'Brien knows the way it's done.
You know who else he could ask? Brad Seeley, who he played for like 17 years.
But he's not still, quote, with the organization.
Who gives a rat's ass? Neither is Dante Scarnecchia, and he picks our draft picks.
And he's not a special teams coach.
Just move on,
you know,
I guess.
I don't know why this is so hard to understand.
Here's the bottom line. You have to say the Patriots are smarter than everybody else. That's
Seeley,
the bottom line.
Seeley was in San Francisco.
Correct.
So he has worked with Ventrone.
But Scott oh, my God. Did they not say that's? And we all were like, "What's he going to do?" Did they or did they not say Scott O'Brien's retired, but he's still with the organization in
they
some capacity?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So maybe it's to help. One of the things is to help the young guy that they just hired.
Well, that's possible.
Right. So I don't know why we're arguing about this.
What does the new guy need help? I don't really understand.
So he's just going to come in and day one know everything about being a special.
No,
team
my
coach.
Point is I don't really understand what Scott O'Brien being on or off. The organization.
Yeah, you can make that face with the eyes and whatever you want to do.
Okay.
But
all right.
He's the assistant special teams coach. Do you think he's drawing up a lot of game plans? And what do you think he's doing?
You don't think he's going to learn?
You know what I think he's doing? Working with Canoris Davis on those drills in front of us forever that he's done as a player for a decade.
You don't think he has to learn the craft of coaching?
Yes, and I don't think that's a science.
I don't think it has anything to do with Scott O'Brien. That's all.
Okay.
It's an art, not a science.
That's all I'm saying. I don't think it has anything to do with Scott O'Brien. Yes, I think he needs to. I think he's inexperienced. I think he needs to learn his craft.
We have the
all
best
of that
ever.
Stuff. I just don't think it has.
We just got into an
any
argument.
Any question
about
that he
Ray
has
Ventrone, the
about
assistant special
the
teams
assistant
coach.
Special teams coach and the retired special teams coach.
I just don't see how the correlation of I'm going to retain Scott O'Brien. So in case the guy that I have replacing Joe Judge has a question, he'll be able to call Scott O'Brien
as opposed to asking Joe Judge.
As opposed to just calling Scott O'Brien, who's not any longer part of the organization.
Because you know what?
I don't really understand.
You know what Ray Ventrone's going to do?
If he's with us and retained.
But do you think he's going to be out in the field every day at practice with us?
No.
No, he's going to be home.
Right. And if he's not retained, you don't have to pick up the phone. But now
so
we have
an
agreement. When Ray calls you, could you give him some time?
So he's an a-hole. Because I'm sorry, if he wasn't going to pick the phone up because it said Foxborough and I don't work there anymore.
Maybe he's got other things to do.
So either way, he still has other things to do.
My guess is he has other things to do, and that's why he retired.
But now, in some capacity, he's still with the organization. I don't know why that's so hard to understand.
But we don't even know if this is his role.
We don't. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, you could be wrong.
We're automatically assuming that we're smarter.
Could I be right?
No.
Okay. That's why you're an A-gap.
You could definitely be right. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I think there is a very,
you know
very...
why you don't see it? It's because of the way I framed it. They think of everything. If I hadn't said that... You wouldn't be arguing.
No, because I don't think that.
Yes,
that,
I would.
I don't think. Yeah, I would.
Because I don't think it makes any. I think there is less than 1% chance that you're right.
You don't know me well at all if you don't think I can fight with an argument.
Whoa. I never said the sole purpose.
You just said they think of everything and they want it so
that
he'll answer the phone.
I said that could be one of the things.
When he's fishing in Montana, he'll answer the phone.
I never said that's the sole purpose that he's still with the organization.
So why is he here?
It could be a million things.
Do you think...
one of them could be to help a young guy that they just hired.
Okay, you're right. If you had framed it like that, I would have thought differently. Because you made it sound like the reason that they said he's going to be in some capacity.
That is what you said.
Yeah.
But that's not even why I argued with you. I mean,
yes.
Know me well at all.
I argue because I think it's
dumb. I could just argue about anything. You know me.
If it's positive Patriots, I got an argument on my hands.
But this isn't even positive or negative.
I don't understand how that's positive.
I think it's
just
dumb. That's
what I don't get.
I just don't think there's any way. I mean, Joe Judge is the special teams coach. Ray Ventrone needs to know how something is to be done, he asks the two guys that are above him, not the guy who's fishing in Montana.
I'm arguing
for the
Patriots
side. The Patriots have a full scouting staff, right? Yes?
Yeah.
Why do they need Dante Scarnecchia then?
Because he's better.
Well, you don't think Scott O'Brien's better than Joe Judge?
If you had said Joe Judge, because I think Joe Judge will decide the game plans each week on special teams.
You just answered the question.
No, I didn't, actually.
All right, let's get to
Joe Judge, and Joe Judge's primary role was to work with Kenoris Davis, who never played a down for the team.
You're painting me out somehow like you always try to do, is this is all because I don't like the Patriots. I'm actually giving the Patriots more credit than you are. I don't think that the Bill Belichick hires guys thinking they're not ready to do what I need them to do. I think he hires guys that he thinks are competent people that can do the job. And it's not because of Scott. I'm going to keep Scott O'Brien around just in case these guys can't do it. I don't think Bill does that. I think he thinks more of the guys he hires than you do.
Yeah, I think he thinks Ventrone has a good upside, but he knows that he's never coached before.
He's just an assistant special teams coach.
Right, and he needs to
learn. What
are
we hiring him to do?
That's basically like a quality control.
Joe Judge,
that's a low-level job.
I've watched training camp the last couple of years. Joe Judge is running that stuff out there. I've seen him do it. I have no problem with Joe Judge replacing Scott O'Brien.
So now let's actually delve into something important. This isn't Gooch replacing
Dante.
To say. Can Ray Ventrone bring some of the Pepper Johnson that we wondered if would be missing from a team without ex-players, that emotional, scrappy, you know, scout team, dirty show? Can he bring some of that?
That's possible.
I don't think so.
I did think that when they hired him. It's like, okay.
Now that's arguing just to argue.
You know, I did think that when they hired him. Oh, there's that ex-player
I'm sorry.
That they said they didn't have.
I'm sorry, though. I can't look at that way because I look at him.
Yeah, he wasn't a very vocal guy.
No,
in terms
plus,
of
he looks
guy.
Like me. Yeah. Like, Pepper Johnson's a big ex-player. You right. know this dude played linebacker in the National Football League, went through some wars. You know, I look at Ray Ventrone and say, I could just as easily buy milk from him at 7-Eleven.
I also looked at Pepper and thought, this is a guy who's been with Bill for so long. Like, he can give it back to Bill.
Right.
Yeah.
And Bill might actually respect what he has to say.
Ray has to call Scott O'Brien and say, can I give it back to Bill on this?
Stop.
Well, no, but I can't picture Ray Ventrone, like... just getting irate over something like that with Bill. You know what
it
I mean?
It is going to be interesting
and
to observe
I don't
observe
think he's
him.
Ever going to.
Well, I've never seen Joe Judge irate either.
Right.
No, but I mean, like, you know, like, not necessarily going irate, but, like, if he really vehemently disagrees about something, like, game plan-wise or strategy-wise, you could see someone like Pepper really getting involved with the argument. It's hard for me to picture.
Oh,
Ray
I can't picture that either. I don't.
And they were the only team without
an
ex-player on
it.
Staff too until they made this move.
Right. Alex from Philly, a little surprised about McCourty not getting tagged and him hitting free agency. All but guarantees that he will not be a Patriot this season because some team will overpay for him. However, does McCourty not being tagged make you feel better about a potential Revis deal? Surely Bill doesn't believe he can lose both of them in the secondary. Also, you guys think we should sign some interior O lineman in free agency? If so, who?
I don't know.
Or draft.
Yeah, I would prefer drafting one.
I think
one.
The draft would be more appropriate.
Yep. Cameron Irving, as long as Scar's okay with him.
Yeah. I think, you know, you can build a good offensive line through the draft. I don't think you need to go through free agency to do that. There are other positions I think you're better off going through free agency, but I think O line you can, if you do it right, I think you can do it through the draft.
And they've had... Trying to think. Brian Waters obviously is one. A little bit of a weird scenario.
Yeah.
They haven't had a lot of success signing starting caliber offensive linemen.
They've had a ton of success signing veteran linemen who have contributed greatly, but not a lot of Brian Waters.
Right. And even the ones that have contributed, they've been developmental. So if they signed a guy now to contribute next year, 16 or 17, maybe, like Dan Conley.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't really done that a lot. So.
But even like some of the veterans that they've brought in, they've had some success with. Even like, you know, guys that haven't played a ton. Will Svitek, you know, provided depth. Russ Hochstein provided depth and stepped in when he had to.
But again, he was a
developmental
type.
In addition to the millions of Tom Ashworths and guys like that.
Svitek is more of an example of a veteran type.
But they haven't had a guy that they brought in as a veteran who's going to replace Dan Conley next year at left guard. They haven't really had – Brian Waters is really the only one off the top of my head.
Was that coming out of the
lockout? And that was
lockout?
Necessity
yes.
at the end.
It was a lockout. Yeah.
All of that I throw out the window.
I believe it was the lockout.
I believe it was the lockout, too. You know what Will Svitek's most famous for? J.J. Watt just
sound
absolutely
music?
Kicking his ass in that mic'd up segment. I believe he gave up 3 sacks and was mocking him, going to the sideline like, this dude can't even touch me. Like,
oh, that was when he was on Atlanta?
Oh, Tennessee, I thought.
Tennessee.
A lot of people emailing to tell us that Welker is 20th on the list for receptions.
That's still okay. Pretty high.
Maybe that's what, like, he's top 20. That, like, felt high to me. But it also feels like he's top 20th all time in the National Football League. He should be in the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Wait, are you putting any of the others in? The Dillons, Mosses, Harrisons?
That... No.
Not on the Patriots. Not who else?
Nope.
What?
No longer on the Patriots. I mean, that's...
Well, they all have to not be on the Patriots right. to be inducted.
Well, yeah, really.
We started off the whole thing by saying Welker and Edelman. Edelman's still on the Patriots, Fred. We're talking about guys that we think
and
are going to end up
never
in the...
left.
Yeah. And I said no
Teddy
to Edelman.
Bruschi never left. Troy Brown never left.
No, I know, but you said if he does it for another 3 years, that you would put him in. If so, in other words, if he does what Welker did, you'd put Edelman in.
Because and he had a Super Bowl. Right.
Right, because he's on the Patriots still.
No, because he had a Super Bowl.
If he leaves, I'll guarantee you, we'll revisit this and you'll say, no, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
5 years from now?
3 years from now.
No.
So then he'll have 5 years of production with the Patriots, but then. His contract is up, and he signs somewhere else.
I mean, the Super Bowl makes you think about it. It does. You know,
Welker went to two of them.
Because he did something for and with the team that was the ultimate, you know?
He loves you, man.
That's why, like, John Hanna. As great as
St. Louis defenders, I'll tell you.
As great as he is, if he wasn't a pro football Hall of Famer, I'd have a tough time putting him in the Hall of Fame.
The guy that
he wants
some
him on
consider
his
the greatest
Rushmore.
Ever player.
He wants him on
not
his Patriots Rushmore, well, but not on the team Hall of Fame.
The fact that he's the greatest ever is because he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame because he's one of the greatest ever.
So you wouldn't have put Tippett.
But like Lenny St. Jean. Lenny St. Jean was a really good guard. Played here for like 11 years. I mean, was solid. I would never think of putting him in the Hall.
But I never saw anyone
no one ever wrote
Lenny St. Jean's the greatest ever.
A cover story in Sports Illustrated calling him the greatest offensive lineman ever.
Hanna gets in because he's the greatest ever at his position, regardless of how good or bad the Patriots were.
But you just said if he wasn't in the Pro Football Hall of Fame,
and Edelman,
he wouldn't go in the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Welker and Edelman are nowhere close to that status as being the greatest ever at their position or being even considered that. That's why it's a tougher call for me. So now I take into consideration – you know, what they did as a Patriot for the Patriots, you know, and what was their contribution to it as being a Patriot. I'm a lot tougher than most people.
You are. Like, you're very consistent with
like, you just proved that.
You're like, very consistent. You are extremely tough.
A lot of those banners at the Celtics I would take down, the numbers.
All those Hall of Famers, you take them down.
Yeah.
Huh?
I just think.
That's the argument in the Celtics, and I hear it all the time.
No, just Reggie Lewis.
Okay. Take Reggie Lewis down. Take Jim Loskatoff down. Who's not in the Hall of Fame
Up
there?
Is Cedric Maxwell in the Hall of Fame? Is his number up
no.
there? I'd take him down.
But if he were in the Hall of Fame, you'd leave him up there.
No. I don't think he should be in the Hall. I wouldn't have thought he should have been in the Hall. Look, I have the same problem with the Pro Football Hall
I know,
of
but
Fame.
The Celtics have a lot of numbers retired, but the vast majority of them are in the NBA Hall of Fame.
I know, and I have a problem with that, too.
Why?
Because I just think...
You just broke your own rule.
I just think these Halls of Fame make it too easy to get in. I think it should be just the best of the best.
Well, that is a different rule. But I think that is true of the league Hall of Fame, the sport Hall of Fame.
I think
team Hall of Fames are made, I've said this before, for Kevin Falk and these like lifelong like contribute. They're special to your team. They're not special anywhere else. But
I agree with you on
no,
I there's
agree
too
on
many
point.
Guys in Hall of Fame.
There are guys that like just did things for your team that would put them out of consideration for Pro Football Hall of Fame. And some of those guys should get in.
Like I'm gonna.
I don't think Welker is one of those guys.
You're gonna mock me, but I think Team Hall of Fames. If James Devlin played 15 years here, as just a run of the mill, you know, every year he has one touchdown.
So let's go real. Do you think Mosi Tatupu
I
should be in the Patriots?
I was just gonna say him, Paul.
Yes.
No.
No. Who?
Mosi Tatupu.
Devlin's a better player.
Because Mosi Tatupu was James Devlin.
Yeah. Right.
He was a 10-plus year special team fullback.
I agree with that. Better. You know?
And yes, I do think. I think that's what team Hall of Fames are for. Where that's where you acknowledge.
See, I just look at
organizational longevity and greatness.
And I get it. I get what you're saying. I understand your distinction that you're making. I don't look at it that way.
It doesn't mean anything.
I know. The Pro Football Hall of Fame
means
something.
But it does mean something to the players that get in. I'm telling you.
Believe me, I know.
No, but I think it's the same for the players on a smaller scale, and I think it should be the same on a smaller scale. It's, are you one of those special players? And I don't mean just like because you were popular. I mean because you were that much better than everybody else that played for the organization. That's what it should be. It should be the very best. And that's one part that Fred is really, really tough on it, probably tougher than I am. But I agree with your stance. Like, I think there are too many people in the Hall of Fame in all sports.
Right.
There are too many guys that I didn't look at as saying, how many guys you and I have talked about over the years, you know, Ron Borges, who's heavily involved in the Pro Football Hall of Fame stuff, and he'll bring a guy up, and me and you look at each other, like, who? And you find out, oh, that's he's in the Hall of Fame? Like, right. How do I not know who the – like, I know who Babe Ruth is.
Right.
Like, how do I not know this guy who's in the Hall of Fame? Shouldn't he have been a guy that transcended normal common fandom? Like, right. Everybody should know who this guy is. And I would think that all of the Hall of Fames, you should have, like, 95% recollection. Right. You know, you know, name familiarity. You should know 95%. No matter when they played. And I feel like there's a lot more guys in four Halls of Fame that I never heard of.
There are players or contributors every year in the NFL and the Pro Football
Hall of
Fame.
Don't get me started on the contributors and the writers and all that crap.
You know, right. You don't recognize.
Well, they put Polian in.
They should never have that.
Never.
Never have that stuff.
Polian made it?
Yeah.
Well, he's going in. Did he go in?
He's going in.
Yeah, I don't think that any of those guys belong.
If you're going to have him, he's...
If you have those, then that's different. I don't think those guys... I'm with Eric. I don't think contributors, coaches...
I think Robert should be in, you don't.
Owners.
So.
No, I don't think any of them should be in. I agree. Not because I don't think Robert deserves to be in among owners. I don't think owners belong. It should be the players. It's the players that form the
game. You can argue that.
Well, contribution to the game. I do think that they should have contributors. I do think that. That's where maybe I'm less tough. But I mean, I'm tough in terms of who a contributor should be that could get in. Absolutely. I mean, you have to really,
If Robert sold the franchise and, you know, opened up the L.A. franchise, how Fred would just cut
ties with him.
He didn't belong.
That carpet bagger.
What's he done?
All right. That's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We'll be back Thursday.
We do. We really do need
With more talk. Of course, free agency opens next week. But who
almost
knows
time to start tampering.
People are saying, no, we need less of your nonsense.
Who knows what could happen between now and then. Patriots could make a signing, you never know, with an existing player on the squad.
Or a cut.
We'll see. Or a cut. All right. We'll see you Thursday.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.